If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Good morning, vagina.
As a Christian woman, I believe I can say with complete certainty that you are the devil.
Ellen, please, I just got home. Don't rush me.
Oh, yes, I can't tell you how much yes.
You ready to get this party going on?
Hi, look and shine.
Can you repeat the word, please?
Hylodenshine. Listen to the middle. Hylodenshine.
Hylodenshine?
No.
Hylodenshine.
Hylodenshine?
Sounds right.
Hylodenshine.
Hylodenshine.
Hylodenshine? Are there any alternate pronunciations?
Just Hylodenshine.
And now.
Spell on three. One, two, three.
Our feature presentation.
The hell was that? 1, 2, 3, what?
Spell.
Spell. Oh.
That's from the spelling bee.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people watch that show, and you can hear from that clip why. It's just riveting.
It's pretty funny.
The guy did have to ask for the word 17 times in a row.
Yes. And then, once he spent 20 minutes getting the pronunciation, his question is, are there any alternate pronunciations? Kid, you can't handle any alternate pronunciations. You can't handle this pronunciation. Spell the goddamn word. I need to be doing commentary on the spelling bee.
Yes,
I think
you'd
be really good at that, as a matter of
That'd
fact.
That'd be awesome.
Because Bean would be kind of uppity with them, you know?
Sure.
To Bean, spelling is not only second nature, but really super important. And if you misspell a word, he will jump on it.
Yeah.
Well, now, hold on a sec.
You'd be good with that.
Hold on a sec. Having said that, please don't give anyone the wrong impression. These kids spell anyone we've ever met around the world and back. I mean, none of us are even a thousandth of the league of these kids when it comes to spelling. I mean, they're freaks. They're machines.
All right. I'm just saying that. I'm just saying you would like that world. I'm saying that would be good for you.
I want to do it so I can mock the kids and make them cry for how long
right.
it takes them to do stuff. That's what I'm interested in. I mean, believe me, they're superior spellers. That's not what it's about at all.
That kid would have said, could I have an alternate pronunciation? You would have said, no, spell the word.
Absolutely. I want to be the guy in the back of the room and have the authority to, you know, hit him with a paintball or something, you know. Wouldn't that liven up the spelling bee,
yes,
right?
Yes, it would.
Kevin
projectile
would
from the back of the room.
One of those,
Kevin would totally watch.
One of those paint gun machine guns, and you just pepper them. They run around the stage like little babies. That'd be awesome.
As a matter of fact, that's a great idea. And another great idea is there ought to be some sort of unforeseen consequence to misspelling a word, like a little 8-year-old girl will be up there. She'll spell a word wrong, and then the trap door will open up underneath her on the stage, and she'll go down into water with full of sharks. You know, that sort of thing would be. Like, every time someone spells a word, something else new happens.
And they would never know what's coming.
They'd never know what it was. Like, they bring out the stocks or something that they have to put their hands in, you know, and then for the whole rest of the show, they're up on stage in the stocks. That'd be awesome.
Heavy bag full of sand comes flying by.
Perfect.
Swinging. I hit you right in the
like
head.
Like a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Do they get, like, a prize, though, for spelling it right? Do they get, like, an
They get
bonus?
To move on and live.
That's the only prize.
Okay. I'd say living is a good prize.
Yeah, okay.
They get to stay in the competition, Mike.
I don't know if they spelled it right. Like little puppies came out and licked their feet until they could spell the next one. Or like,
maybe.
That would be the best.
Like something good.
Katie. Let's do that.
So maybe puppies or, you know, whatever. Whatever
like
happens.
If they answer right, little puppies come and lick their feet until the next word. But if they answer it wrong, pit bulls come and they you soak their feet in chum.
Exactly.
And you rip their legs off.
Tie a belt of meat around them.
Yeah.
We've gotta have a spelling bee now.
The guy in the back with a bow and arrow. You never know. He might shoot this time. He might shoot next time.
Then they get it right, and somebody comes out with milk and warm cookies.
Exactly. I would watch. I'm into
this. This is the best show idea ever. See, they're putting freaking the singing bee on TV instead of the Kevin and Bean spelling bee, which would be a far superior show.
How come people don't listen to us, Bean?
We just came up with it.
We have nothing. It doesn't matter. We came up with the
so
Car Chase have Channel.
The show already?
No, we came up with the Car Chase Channel years ago. No one's doing it.
That is true.
We're putting gold out here, people. We're just saying we'll take it for free.
You could add sandstorm crashes and tunnel crashes to the car chase channel.
That's true.
Then you really have something.
And you got it
good
all.
Idea.
Yeah, exactly.
We got so many good ideas. Man, why is no one listening? If this show were on the air, if people could actually hear it, can you imagine the influence it would have?
If you had a platform.
It's too bad. It's too bad they have to plug in their radio to the wall in the dorm to get it. That sucks. Be better if we actually had a signal.
If we were on where people who made decisions about TV and movies could hear us, Lisa, you're so right. That would be the answer.
The problem is the way it's set up now, only people who smoke dop listen, and that's the problem.
Dave, it's dope. It's actually dope, Dave.
The King of Mexico the other day said, I'm smoking too much dop. We're like, what?
That is one hint as to how you know.
Yeah.
If you can't pronounce the word dope, you're clearly smoking too much dop.
Yeah. Guys, I'm really tired today. I hope you can't tell.
Why?
But I'm exhausted. Well, I was out last night rehearsing because I've got this charity gig tonight.
Oh, that's right.
And, at the Whiskey. I told you all about it.
Oh, the thing with the Thai hookers?
My band is going to be playing with Prom Night Dumpster Babies. We have Reprehensible Pricks opening up, and the Subterranean Bearded Women of the Moscow Underground will come after our band.
Kevin, that sounds like a great show. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you're confused. I think the show at the Whiskey tonight is a benefit that Psycho Mike's band, Banpax, is going to be in. They're playing with Sanchez. I think that's the benefit for the Thai hookers that you're confused about.
Is Aretha Franklin on his show?
No. They must just be playing yours.
Okay.
Just playing yours.
Why did I rehearse last night?
I don't know.
I can't imagine.
We got the band back together and everything. Wow. That kind of sucks.
Maybe you'll be the surprise guest.
Maybe.
If you want to come on stage, you're really welcome.
Bring Kevin on to do his Queen Elizabeth chunk.
Oh, and now to introduce to the next band, Sanchez, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. Hello! I forget the vice president's name. What's his name?
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick.
That band's playing tonight, by the way.
That's awesome.
Sanchez.
One of the bands.
How great is that?
Pretty Sanchez.
And,
hey, by the way.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Speaking of Dick Cheney, did you hear the news yesterday about who he's related to?
Yes!
I did!
Is that the best?
Well, it's really weird, isn't it? And I'm sure the guy that he's related to is not happy about it.
Here's the story. Mike, did you hear about this?
No.
Lynn Cheney, the second lady, the vice president's wife, was on MSNBC yesterday, and she said that she was writing a new book, and she was doing research about their family history, genealogy. And let's face it, you go back far enough, everybody's related to everybody, okay? So she found out that her husband, the Vice President Dick Cheney, and Barack Obama are eighth cousins.
Oh. He's related to Barack Obama.
I think that is the most ironic thing I've ever heard.
How funny is that?
They have to have a family reunion.
And how bad for Barack Obama?
Yep. The Chicago Sun-Times says that the ancestor was a 17th century immigrant from France who came over to the United States and spread his seed, and it went off in different directions. And Dick Cheney and Barack Obama are related.
And this bears the question immediately to me, but we'll never know. Who's more upset about it? Barack?
No, Barack. You know Barack.
Or Dick?
No, Dick.
I don't know.
Why? Dick doesn't care.
Think about that. Oh. I don't know. Do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'll tell you.
Related to a Democrat?
Right. I'll tell you. Dick's comment would be, so.
Well, that's true. That would be his comment.
And he's outgoing. Barack Obama's the guy who has to now go out and get votes. And the great Satan is, you know, who he's related to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lisa could be right, A, because he's a Democrat. And D, Dick Cheney didn't move to Wyoming so he could hang out with black people. I'll tell you that.
So.
It's got to be part of it, too.
I think Barack would think it's kind of funny.
I'll shoot him in the face.
I don't know. You never know. I mean, like I said,
that's true.
It's a great debate.
Yeah.
He's more upset about this.
Yeah.
Well, I think just because Barack Obama only has a future and Dick Cheney only has a past, it has to be Barack Obama.
You're probably right. But anyway, that was interesting news to find out about.
Best story ever.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Bean Show. It's Wednesday, and it is the 17th of Rocktober. New movie coming out called The Comebacks. Looks very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Who's with me?
Mm-hmm.
Who's
could,
with me
could
on this
be,
one?
Could be funny.
Has some laughs. Looks like it has some laughs. Yeah, it's got a terrific cast.
It's one of those parody movies, and it stars David Koechner as one of the guys. We're going to have him in the studio today.
Love
talking
him.
About
he's great.
Yeah, he's great. He's the guy that played the sportscaster on Anchorman.
Yes, that's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Anchorman is my movie that I can identify people with. That's it.
Right.
If they were in Anchorman, you can tell me who they were, and I go, oh, yeah, sure.
Wasn't he also
Vince Vaughn, the opposing newscaster? Absolutely. I know that, yeah.
Thank you for smoking.
Thank you for smoking. Too. He was phenomenal. He was. He's the Naked Trucker, of course.
Sure.
Naked Trucker and T-Bone. Uh-huh. I mean, the guy's a hilarious actor. And I set up a notice if he's in a film. He's got pretty good taste.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to be in the studio today. We'll be talking about that. R. Kelly has a new song. It's not Trapped in the Closet. It's much more highbrow than that.
Really?
Yeah, it's very heady stuff. It's hard for me to get my mind around it. So we're going to talk about that. We'll play some audio of that. We have an author on the show today, Peter Segal, the author of The Book of Vice. And vice, of course, being gambling or hooking or whatever it is you do. That's
all the good stuff?
All the good stuff. Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll talk to him today. Instructables.com is a great new website that you're going to waste most of your time on. We'll introduce you to that coming up just after 6 o'clock. And Psycho Body on the program today.
Ooh, we haven't done that in a long time.
Haven't done that in a long time. So we're going to do that today in the 7 o'clock hour.
You ready to get pumped? Are you, ladies?
That didn't sound good.
Psycho Body's weak.
Yeah. Try it again. Try it again.
You ready to get pumped?
There you go.
Are you, ladies?
There you go.
Okay.
Excellent. And we're making progress. We're tracking down the Phantom Pooper.
Oh, good.
We're doing. We have the reporter on.
We do.
Yep, the reporter that could not stop talking about number two.
Squatting.
Oh, my God. She was something.
Finger painting.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to her on today's Kevin and Bean Show, which, of course, is the only thing I care about.
Sure.
Because we got to get to the bottom of that whole thing. Because we had the exact same problem here at K-Rock. And we had a network of people that were trying to figure out why there would be someone who, on purpose, would go to the bathroom outside the toilet.
And it's way weirder at K-Rock because there was a toilet available. We are led to believe that this guy in Idaho Falls that we're talking about, the Phantom Pooper that we're all obsessed with, he doesn't have a bathroom, we think, maybe. That could be part of his problem.
Right.
I don't think that explains finger painting.
Oh. No, it certainly doesn't.
I mean, this guy seriously has problems.
He has an artistic bent.
He does, yes.
Poo issues.
An artistic bent. That's a big bent. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Remember that guy Ralph Garman used to work on the show, used to do this thing called the Showbiz Beat every morning?
Doesn't
about
ring a bell,
this time?
No.
Well, you'd recognize him if you saw him.
Okay.
He's coming back tomorrow. Ralph Garman will be back here tomorrow with the Showbiz Beat.
What are we going to do with him?
World famous K-Rock. I think we'll enjoy it very much. Okay. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at what's going on. Kevin, I was going to save this for later, but since you brought it up, there is a new show on MSNBC that is called Why They Run, and it is all about car chases.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not a network yet, but it's a show.
Not yet. It's a good start, and who knows? Maybe if the show does well, maybe it will expand into a network, which is what we've been talking about for 10 years. Bill in OC is the listener who tipped us off to this. They show footage of famous chases. They interview the morons that perpetrated them, says Bill, which is exactly what we've been suggesting for so long. You want to show the video of the chase and say, all right, what were you doing here when you made this U-turn?
What were you thinking? Yeah, that'd be great.
There's tons of cool criminal trivia. For instance, if you remember that guy that stole the 7-Up truck a couple of years ago, remember him?
Sure,
we talked about him. Well, apparently he showed up at a sentencing hearing with the 7-Up logo carved into the hair on the back of his head.
Oh, my God.
This just sounds so perfect,
so you
this
know
show.
You know these people are crazy. So to get them on like that would be great. They all have some weird story like that.
And this is what's beautiful is we fall in love with these people on the car chases. You know, the guy you spend, you know, 2.5 hours watching who gets out and runs into an apartment building with no pants on. I mean, that guy you fall in love with, you never hear from him again. Whatever happened to that dude? Well, it'd be great to be able to follow him after the fact and see what was next.
Yeah, no kidding.
So anyway, MSNBC is the channel. It's called Why They Run. Thanks to Bill for tipping us off to that. And I guarantee that one goes into my TiVo today.
Oh, no kidding. That's going to be great. Yes. I hope they get the guy that stole the tank in San Diego. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was fantastic. Looks like Katie Holmes might be pregnant again. That's the rumor.
Oh, please don't say that.
This week's Star Magazine shows Mrs. Tom Cruise looking like she already has a baby bump. According to them, sources close to the couple say they're trying to give their daughter, Suri, a sibling.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise has denied he's ever had sex. Allegedly.
I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay! Go see my new movie! I'm in love with Katie Holmes! I'm not gay!
TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, has learned that the Los Angeles Police Department is investigating that Orlando Bloom car crash from a couple nights ago that we told you about.
Right.
Now, This is interesting. This might be a good you be the judge here, because as we reported the story to you, X-17, after the car crash, had video of Orlando Bloom leaving the scene. Remember, he got into that accident. He right. says that a paparazzi SUV swerved out in front of him, and he turned to avoid that car and ran into a couple of parked cars on the street. Well, he wasn't hurt. He got up and walked away. He had two female passengers in the car that were both hurt, one of them kind of seriously.
Right.
And it was X-17 who was out there who was filming the thing, who said to him, look, dude, you do not want to walk away from this accident. You do not want to be hit and run. He was gone for several minutes, and he turned around and came back. Then the police arrived, and they said it didn't look like he'd been drinking, didn't look like he was at fault, and he was cooperative with the interview. He wasn't arrested or charged or booked or anything like that. But if he leaves and then comes back before the police arrive, is it hit and run, I wonder?
That's a great question, and I would... You can't say yeah, people, you could leave. You can't say that.
Yeah, you're not ever supposed to leave.
But
like
if
that.
The guy came back, it seems like he's there and he took responsibility.
Yeah.
But why did he leave?
I don't know.
Probably
hungry.
I don't know, but my guess is if you're Orlando Bloom, the last thing you want is to be there where obviously cameras are going to come and you're going to be, your name's going to be dragged through it and someone's going to say you're at fault and I don't know. It's still wrong. I'm not excusing that behavior, but it is interesting that the LAPD is investigating that. Even though they don't think he was at fault in the crash, he still may end up taking a hit for walking away from it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's bullshit.
Psycho Mike, you're going to be very happy about this next story. Okay. As you know, we've been obsessed for a long time with Megan Fox, who was in the Transformers.
Yes.
She disagrees that she's hot. You'll be happy to find out,
really?
As Psycho Mike does target the bad self-esteem women.
Is she blind? Is that what we're learning here? She has not seen how hot she is?
Did she grow up fat?
She tells a British tabloid, the London Sun, that she not only doesn't think she's attractive, but she looks like Steve Buscemi of The Sopranos.
Fantastic!
So she looks in the mirror and sees Steve Buscemi.
Oh,
Steve Buscemi doesn't want to do that.
No, God, no.
That is awesome.
And how hot is she, really?
She's the best hottest. Looking girl ever, and you can tool on her and make her your slave. Fantastic.
So, hey, is Hot Chicks with Low Self-Esteem playing your gig tonight?
Oh, no, but that's my new website. No, thank you very much. Eureka.
That's the one, huh?
Yeah.
Lisa Mae, you're off to Dancing with the Stars bandwagon again this season.
I am not watching.
Thank you. All right. Well, Samantha Harris, the co-host who left to have a baby, made her first appearance of the year last night. She was on with Tom Bergeron. Wayne Newton returned. He was booted last week. He returned to sing Dankeschön on the show last night.
Oh, what a
special guest star Gloria Estefan performed
what?
Rhythm Is Gonna Get You.
Oh, my God. This do I hate Kevin's, everything she does.
This is Kevin's dream night.
And the only reason I bring it up, I know what you're saying, is Bean, who cares, is that the TV ratings are out this week. And once again this week, Dancing with the Stars, Monday nights at 8, the number one show in America, ladies and gentlemen. How do you put
country.
A show on with people dancing, Gloria Estefan, and Wayne Newton as the musical entertainment, and it's the number one show in America?
It's just sad. And there's some really good TV on now. You don't have watch that.
Right. You're not stuck because everything else is in reruns. That's not the case now. There are new TV shows that are trying to get an audience. Turn away from the dumb dancing show and watch some of them.
I watched Samantha Who, by the way.
How is that?
Really good.
Fantastic.
Loved it. Yeah, it's
That's
really
the new
funny.
Christina Applegate show, if you don't recognize the title, folks. It just debuted this Monday night.
Yes.
Or last night, I guess. Yeah.
Monday night. You're right.
Monday, right.
Dancing.
So Dancing with the Stars, number one. In a tie, actually, with CSI, the Thursday night CSI at number one. Then Grey's Anatomy, Desperate Housewives, House, 60 Minutes. The Tuesday Dancing with the Stars at number seven. NCIS, Criminal Minds, and CSI Miami. That is your top 10. Speaking of TV, by the way, you know, all of us have been kind of paying attention to this writer's strike that apparently is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe by the 31st.
This might be bad because...
This writer's strike might be bad, yeah. And this is interesting. Very few shows being canceled right now compared to most seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of rookie shows, although no new episodes have been ordered for any of the new ones, except for Gossip Girl, by the way, which is the only show that's been given a full season pickup already of the new shows that have debuted this year. That's on the CW. They have not ordered new shows for the other episodes, the other series, but they are ordering scripts. So it is thought that they are stockpiling scripts so that they have something when the writers walk out, they'll have something to produce.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
That's
if they go
bad.
On strike, it's going to be reality hell.
Yeah, because
and it's going to be that way for the next several years because it takes a long time to get these TV shows up and running.
It sounded like the producers. It sounds like they made a decent move to try and get the talks going because the big problem is
residuals.
So yeah. These writers write stuff. It comes out on DVD. They don't get anything. So they're all upset. So now it looked like the producers are kind of giving that up. They were going to recoup all of their other money first before the writers got paid. So. Hopefully they'll work it out because that would.
Do you
suck.
Trust producers' accounting?
That's what the writers say.
That's what the writers say
because they have to recoup all of the money they spent, the advertising, everything else. And the writers are like, they can make any movie look like it lost money.
Yeah,
somehow.
Forrest Gump. Remember?
Yep.
Oh, it didn't make any money on that.
So anyway, hopefully both sides will get. We're kind of talking out the side of our asses. Can you do that?
Sure.
Can you talk outside your ass? But
Jim Carrey, you can.
Hopefully, they'll get that resolved and they won't go on strike because that would be bad for all of us.
Yes.
Let's have Producer Lightning line somebody up that can tell us what the real deal is on how that writer's strike is. This just into email from KROQ listener Paul Lee.
Hey,
love
Thank
him.
You. He's awesome, and I did not remember this, but here's what he has to say about your tank guy, your guy in San Diego that stole the tank. Kevin, I don't know if you're being ironic, but the guy who stole the tank in San Diego will not likely be appearing on Why They Run because the cops had to shoot him in the head to stop him.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
I forgot.
Oh, wow.
He's a little bit dead now, so not so much with the, hey, what were you thinking when you stole the tank, writes Paul.
Aww.
That would make it even better.
It would be a hell of an interview.
He's just laying there. What were you thinking exactly?
And let me close with this. And this, I don't know if this will be good news or bad news. I think it's kind of neat, is that the Eagles are going to be appearing in the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
The Philadelphia Eagles are not anywhere near the Super Bowl.
That's what you would imagine. But, yeah, we're talking about the rock band. Apparently, sportsbybrooks.com, which is, a sports website, they're the ones who broke the story last year that Prince was going to be the halftime entertainment in Miami at the Super Bowl. Are reporting that the Eagles are 90% certain to be the halftime entertainment at this year's Super Bowl, which is in Phoenix. Which is pretty remarkable to me when you consider that. I mean, here's a band that hasn't had an album of new material since 1980, yet somehow they can headline the Super Bowl halftime show.
They don't care about that.
You know what, though?
When they plan those shows.
If you can get just somebody that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
You're a step ahead. I mean, you just talked about Gloria Estefan. She's the kind of person that they would get for the Super Bowl halftime.
Absolutely.
It would make me want to tear my eyes out. At least
they
the
had
Eagles.
Gloria Estefan when it was in Miami a few years ago. Remember, they had her as part of the halftime entertainment. It was horrible.
At least the Eagles are...
They're a good band.
They're okay.
They're a rock band.
They're a good band.
Yeah.
They had some good hits. They don't have anything new. I'm not going to be crazy about them, but at least they're not Gloria Estefan or someone like that.
Right.
I agree.
Ugh.
Yeah. And their mass appeal, I mean, lots of people like the Eagles. So, I mean, it makes sense. The Eagles, by the way, do have their first new album of all new material since 1980 coming out this month. So, they're in the promotion mode. But, yeah, 90% certain it's going to be the Eagles at halftime at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale on February 3rd. Sportsbybrooks.com is the site. They say, by the way, that the league's first choice, who they went after first, was Garth Brooks, but they were not able to work out a deal with him.
By the way, the new Nokia Theater is the one across from Staples. I believe it's opening tonight with the Eagles.
Really?
I believe. I could be wrong on that, but it's sometime really, really soon.
Wow.
Which will surprise you if you've been to a Kings game, because it looks like they're just putting up the girders like yesterday.
I was going to say, I was there, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's like hammering.
Even close.
Who knows? But it's supposed to open sometime very soon, I think, tonight with the Eagles. So.
All right, today's celebrity birthdays on KROQ-FM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Chris Kirkpatrick. Do you guys know the name?
Nope.
Yes.
In one of the biggest bands of all time. Yeah, he was in
NSYNC. Oh,
he sure was. He's the one you never, ever hear about. He is 36 years old today. Chris Kirkpatrick.
You know, the only reason I know that is because Eminem threatened to beat him up in one of his songs.
Oh, really?
Chris Kirkpatrick, you can get your ass kicked.
Oh, right. Of course, I remember that. That's funny.
Well, here's a weird coincidence for you. It's also Eminem's birthday today. He is 35 years old today.
Comes full circle.
Reggae star Ziggy Marley turns 39. Wyclef Jean of the Fugees is 35. Crazy, crazy actress Margot Kidder turns 59. One of the most talented guys in TV and movies, Michael McKean. Of course, he was Lenny on Laverne and Shirley. He went on to be one of the stars of Spinal Tap. Remember, he was David St. Hubbins. Mm-hmm. He's been in all the Christopher Guest movies. Just couldn't be a funnier dude. Michael McKean turns 60 years old today. Norm MacDonald is 44. Nice. Mike Judge, the creator of Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. That's a career for you. He's 45 years old today. And George Wendt from Cheers, 59. And the great Evel Knievel unbelievably, yes, the Daredevil alive. Motorcycle superstar of the 70s.
Still alive.
69, but has to look twice that, right?
Oh, yeah. Feel three times that. Who is in more pain every day than him?
Yeah, Evel Knievel, happy birthday if you really are still alive. I doubt it, though. And that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Do you guys believe we will actually give away the Guitar Hero 3 and Xbox 360, or are we just going to continue to tell people that we will one day?
I think if we tease it long enough, they'll forget and just take for granted we did.
Okay, there you go.
That's my plan.
Well, as soon as we know, we'll tell you, but apparently that's coming soon. Stay tuned to K-Rock or K-Rock.com for more information.
I was reading, I think it was Stuff Magazine, maybe Maxim. I apologize. I can't remember. But there was an article about how crazy R. Kelly is and all the weird things he's done. Remember when he was on tour with, was it Jay-Z? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the whole thing fell apart. And the one night that it fell apart, and this is one of the things that it pointed out in the article, is that he left in the middle of his set, R. Kelly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Walked away, got in a vehicle, and left. And they, like, a camera was following him, so the crowd could see him on the big screen, and they were like, is this part of the show, or what's going on? So they tried to figure out, the paparazzi tried to figure out what happened since he left the show midstream. He went to a McDonald's that apparently was closing, and he talked the manager into staying open and letting him serve burgers.
Really?
So he the paparazzi had to have... He didn't have to have it. He had to serve it.
He wanted to work there.
So the paparazzi found him, and they said, what are you doing? And his spokesman said that sometimes he needs to clear his head, and to do that, he likes to serve burgers. That's the kind of psychotic person we're dealing with.
Look, if we've got a guy, and for those who don't know, R. Kelly is a R&B singer who's a superstar. I mean, got 10 platinum albums or something like that. But he is very, very crazy. And the two things apparently he likes most are serving burgers to strangers in a McDonald's uniform and peeing on little girls. Yeah, so between the two, the burgers is not the worst of it.
So he's got a new song out now called Real Talk. And I always love this because this is he sees himself as doing a real service to America and to people in general, because he's letting them know how people really talk. Like, we don't really know.
Okay.
We have no idea.
We don't also live in the world.
We've never had a phone conversation before. But it comes on. It's on YouTube. If you look it up, R. Kelly, Real Talk, it's on YouTube. He's in a recording studio. He's getting his hair braided, and half of it is not braided yet. It's, like, sticking straight out. And he's got a bedazzled hoodie. Looks like somebody put a bunch of the little, stuff. So, and he starts talking as if he's just chatting with the people on YouTube. He's just talking to them. And then somehow he just rolls into doing the song.
I decided to do this real talk on YouTube because I think it's a great song, you know what I'm saying? Even though it's a lot of profanity in it, but the profanity represents just how real gets when you're arguing with your girl and you know what I'm saying? So I did it on YouTube, but I'm going to do this for y'all on YouTube. Hold on, I gotta get me a drink. I'm gonna take me a shot.
Okay, so he gets out he's pouring himself a shot of, tequila or something.
All right.
And he's got a box of cigars, because he's gotta be smoking a cigar and drinking while he's doing this video, because it's real.
He's rolling deep, dude.
It's real talk.
Of course, we got the Stogies jumping off here, so we're going to be real, man. I'm just going to be real. We're just going to roll the film, and we're going to do it.
Now, here's the good part about this. You see him holding a cell phone. You never hear the girl's voice. It's just him.
So one-sided conversation.
That's the whole video. Who would ever think of doing that?
Is this just off the top of his head?
You tell me.
I'm doing this for the fans that I know around the globe that love real talk.
Girl, I wasn't...
He's already into the conversation with him. He's already arguing with her. Yeah, I wasn't.
Wait a minute. Calm down. I was at a club with who? Get the man. You know what? Girl, I'm not about to sit up here and argue with you about who's to blame.
Still singing into the song, into the cell phone. Still singing about
singing
that.
Singing into the cell phone.
Yeah.
A call, no names. Real talk. See, girl. Only thing I'm trying to establish with you is not who's right or who's wrong, but what's right and what's wrong. Real talk.
I don't know what that means. Only thing I'm trying to establish with you is what's right and what, not what's right and what's wrong, but who's right and I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Just because your friend says she saw me at a club with some other bitches, sitting in VIP, smoking and drinking and kicking it. Tell me, girl, did she say there were other guys there? Say there were other guys there? Were there other guys there? Well, tell me this. How the f***
She knew I was with them other girls. And
goes back into the song.
He is charming.
This guy, I think he's gotten to the point where he honestly believes if a sound comes out of his mouth, it's good.
It's magic.
I think so.
There's no process for weeding out the lame and just keeping the gold. To him, everything's gold.
Right.
Just by the fact that it comes out of his mouth.
And the whole club packed. Wait a minute, let me finish what I've got to say. I've been with you 5 years and you listening to your motherfucking girlfriend. I don't know why you f*** with them old jealous no man having assholes anyway. Real talk, always accusing me of some old bull when I'm just trying to have a good time. Robert, you did this, Kills, I heard you did that. Don't you think I got enough bull on my mind? Real talk.
Okay, so he's angry that she's accusing him of being with other girls at a nightclub because he's got enough BS on his mind already.
How is this a song, by the way?
This is his new song.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere within 100 feet of this guy having this phone conversation. This is the most boring thing in the world, is hearing some guy argue with his girlfriend on a cell phone. Why does he think that people want to listen to that for entertainment?
Still in the recording studio, three guys that are apparently his entourage or something behind him doing something, you can't tell. And he's just yelling into the cell phone. That's the whole video.
Wow.
But it ends well. Hang on.
Didn't I just give you money to go get your hair, toes, and nails done another day? Yeah, your ass was smiling then. Real talk. Gave who some damn money? I ain't gave nobody no damn money.
Girl. That's right. I ain't gave nobody some no damn money.
Is you tweaking?
Is you tweaking? He takes the phone away from his ear and yells into the phone. Is you tweaking?
See what your problem is. You're always running off at the mouth telling your girls your mother business.
Right.
When they don't eat with us, they don't sleep with us. Besides, what they eat don't make us real talk. You called my mama's house and what? Girl, my mama ain't got a screen, no calls for me.
Uh-oh.
Real talk.
Getting worse.
And watch your mouth. Girl, you. I don't give a about what you talking about. I'm sick of this bullshit. I'm coming home and getting the out of Dodge.
You ain't- okay, so now he's breaking up with her. He's tired of this.
No.
He's going to go home. He's going to get his stuff.
We're witnessing a breakup.
Yes.
Got to worry about me no more.
But she's angry, and she's even angrier than he realizes.
The next time your ass get horny, go one of your funky ass friends. Hell, you're probably already doing that anyway. You gonna burn what? Bitch, I wish you would burn my mother's clothes.
She's gonna burn his clothes. So he says, I'll shoot you if you do that.
Of course he will. Of course he will. He hasn't had a song in 5 years that hasn't involved a gun.
Now here's the best part, and it's the end of the song. He now realizes that he's got to get off the phone and get one of his friends, Milton, by the way, to take him over to his house to rescue his clothes before they get burned.
Oh my God.
Who's with your trifling ass, Milton? You bogus girl, Milton.
Now he's yelling behind him, Milton, at one of the guys. I can't explain how or why, but the three guys that are behind him, one of them I am guessing is Milton, break out into a fight over, you don't have any idea. He starts saying Milton over his shoulder, and then all three guys behind him start like wrestling and getting each other in headlocks, and just pandemonium breaks out. And there's no explanation for why they're fighting. They're not responding to his phone conversation. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Are they fighting over who's Milton?
I don't
no,
know.
Milton.
Who has to be Milton
I'm
in this
Milton.
Video?
Start your car, warm it up, get ready to take me home. Cut the off. Hey, turn the camera off.
And that's it.
Oh, turn the camera off. It was real.
Because it was a real fight.
It's real talk.
And they were breaking out into some kind of fight over we don't know what, but turn that effing camera off. He says that about 3 or 4 times. Turn the camera off! And then he grabs it and throws it.
R. Kelly, you hired us to film this video to put up on YouTube, as you explained 4 minutes ago.
How spectacular is he? He crazy.
Definitely crazy. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Peter Sagal is on the line. He's that guy from that NPR show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. There's no quicker way to drive away Kevin B. listeners than by bringing this guy on.
How dare
but
you.
I'm here to tell you that we've got a reason, and the reason is Peter's new book that caught our attention because it is the book of vice, very naughty things, and how to do them. Author Peter Sagal joins us on the Kevin B. show on K-Rock right now. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm terrific. I'm so glad to join this sort of morning zoo aesthetic with NPR. It's about time.
Well, we got some bells, some whistles, we got some horns. Believe me, you'll be hearing a little bit. You got train whistles. We got it all. Standing by, dude.
You know, it's what I've always dreamed of.
This, I'd like to say, is maybe the most bogus book ever because what a great idea. And you go, hey, it's research for a book.
Sure.
I know. It's like, hey, baby, I got to go to spend some time in strip clubs and I'm going to spend my publisher's advance there. It's
right.
I actually tried to take the check from HarperCollins and put it in the garter of a stripper.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't take it.
You tried
to endorse it.
Because you didn't sign it over to her, that's why.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Strippers
now,
are smart.
The premise of the book, and by the way, one of the chapters on the strip clubs, we do learn that strippers are very smart. Believe me, they're in control. But the premise of the book, Peter, how do you explain it to people in a few sentences what the Book of Vice is all about?
The purpose of the book is to explain all those things that you hear about people doing, and you don't know exactly why they're doing it or what they expected to get when they got it, all the sort of amazing exotic lifestyles that you occasionally glimpse in the tabloids, lived by lives such as, you know, Kid Rock, people like that. Well, what would it be like if an incredibly vanilla person such as myself went and sort of explored these things and reported back to the rest of the vanilla populace? Because, you know, come on, vanilla is the most popular flavor.
Sure.
but here's what I don't understand, Peter. And again, since we started off on the strip club chapter and you go to Vegas, you do a lot of research. You sound, in the book, you sound like an alien, like a guy who can't understand that a dude wants to see a chick take her top off. What's hard about that to figure out?
Well, there's nothing hard about that to figure out, but if you spend any time in strip clubs, and I'm sure you have, you know that it's a lot more than just very attractive ladies with little clothing on. I'm with you that far.
Right.
What puzzled me about it was that, you know, the interactions, as you guys know, go a lot farther in strip clubs. The women get down off the stage, they climb into your laps, they whisper sweet nothings into their ear. They put on a fabulous show of being really sexually excited by you. And yet at the same
time, you're saying they're not excited by me?
The point is that they're totally not excited.
How dare you, sir?
Garters. And what I couldn't understand is why in the world anybody would want such a patently bogus sexual experience. These women don't care about you. They don't know who you are. And as soon as you stop giving them $20, they're going to turn around, put their top back on, and walk away.
Well, you're just cruel.
I know. Isn't that what I mean?
My strippers don't go dance for anyone else out of respect to me.
I'm sorry.
What was your conclusion, Peter, as to why we do it?
I think this is the funny thing, and this, I think, speaks to my naivete more than anything else, which is I started from the position of, if you will, why in the world would a man or anybody be interested in a completely false replica of a real experience when the falsity of it was, like, so obvious? You know, why would I want to? Well, what's the point of enjoying a woman's attentions if I know and she knows the only reason she's doing it is I'm giving her money? And I thought that was, like, weirdly degrading and more to the man than the woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of realized ultimately that that's not the problem with it. That's the point. That human relations, particularly sexual relations, particularly with attractive women for a lot of men, are so fraught with tension, so weirded out, so, you know, weird in their power.
And complicated,
changes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That for a lot of guys, it's actually a relief for it to be so cut and dried.
Because they don't have to play a game. They know they can get them.
They don't have to be a nice guy. Right. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to show us.
They don't have to cuddle.
By the way, you couldn't just...
They don't have to cuddle afterwards. Thank you. That's exactly the point.
It seems to me, for this book, you could have just spent about an hour with me. I could have given you all this information. The only thing is, Peter, the only thing is the amount to which you can believe she's interested in you is based on the amount of alcohol you drink.
That's also true.
That's the key. You drink enough alcohol, then you go, wow, I think she really does like me.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. I mean, the guys come out of strip clubs. If you were to survey them, do you think that the guys who secretly believe, you know, I think she really liked me more than the other guys, do you think that's 100% or only like 98%?
I think it's 100.
I hope it's not that high, but probably, yeah.
Hey, there's a guy that is interviewed in your book. Again, we're talking to Peter Sagal. The Book of Vice is the name of the book, and it's a very, very interesting and very funny read. There's a guy that you quote extensively in your stripping chapter where he talks about how the girls are always so happy to see him, and they know his name, and it just goes on and on. I mean, he really has built up this entire fantasy relationship with these women, and it really is. You're right. I mean, it's you know, makes the men look bad more than the women. All right, we don't have a lot of time, Peter. So I want to switch gears for 1 second because there's not just you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll in your book. One of the things that you did in the Book of Vice that I was really interested in is you explored these people who will go out and spend $800 on a meal. It's your chapter on consumption. What's up with those people?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, as I explain in the book, you know, eating to excess has been a favorite form of vice going back to, like, as far as anybody knows, prehistoric times. You had the famous Roman feasts with the vomitoriums, although that turns out not to be the case. And as I point out, you know, that's something that people still want to do. They still want to, like, really, you know, tickle every sense that they have, but they need to do it in a way, of course, without getting fat these days, because right. Now that's not cool. And what I explain is the way that real gourmands, real foodies who really want to blow as much money as possible on a meal, you know, who want to have one meal that for the amount of money that could feed an entire village in India,
right.
they're into molecular cuisine, which is this new school of cooking.
What does that mean?
Well, basically, you have these chefs who are also kind of mad scientists, who, like Grant Achatz or Arnold Cantu in Chicago, who create their own weird culinary devices in the kitchen, who can, like, take, you know, a banana and process it and change it and molecularize it so it looks, I don't know, like a meatball or something totally weird. And they make foam out of it or a balloon out of it. And they serve it to you. I mean, you go into one of these restaurants like Alinea in Chicago, and they will come to you with this custom-made wire sticking up from the table. At the end of the wire, what looks like a marshmallow with leprosy. And the waiter says to you, well, chef believes you should eat this with no hands. So you're fine there. You're fine
what?
Sitting there. Yeah. So you find yourself sitting there dressed in
the Tell the chef like the to world. Cook. I'll eat.
I know. And you're bobbing for cuisine, right? You're
trying to
And I tell you this, you bite this thing, it is the most delicious thing you've ever tasted. It's like wires have been put into your brain, so you're having sensations you've never had before, and you just paid $40 for that one bite.
Wow.
And I got to tell you.
You want to do it again, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, you're sitting there, you're going, that was worth it.
Wouldn't it be funny if after writing this book, Peter just went down the dark path, just started gambling and hookers?
No.
And, we're out of time. Tell me who you talked to about gambling.
I talked to a whole bunch of people about gambling, including a guy named Anthony Curtis. He's a professional gambler. I talked to Alan Feldman, who's a high-level executive at the MGM Mirage. He's this happy, intelligent corporate guy.
And about porn?
And about porn, I talked to, among many other people, three of the most amazing, articulate, and interesting porn stars in the world, Nina Hartley, Shane, and Stormy Daniels. Can I tell you something? Yeah. Stormy Daniels, when this whole porn thing, maybe, you know, when she ages out of it, whenever, she could be a stand-up. She is one of the funniest, most articulate, insightful conversationalists I have ever talked to. She tells better stories and cleaner stories, clean ones too.
Peter's in love.
Peter's got a girlfriend.
No, but here's the thing about Stormy Daniels. I had dinner with her and Nina and Shane, and you know, and we had a great time. And then we went out to this porn party where they dressed up or dressed down, took off most of their clothes, and they were putting on the whole porn star show. And I was sitting there in the VIP area with them because I was with them, and guys were looking at me like, wow, what's that guy got?
What does he have that I don't? He's got a fake story about writing a book.
I know.
That's what he's got. That's exactly it. Peter, all of your colleagues at NPR are probably avoiding looking at your eyes when you pass in the hall now. They've got to be so disgusted with you rolling around in the mud with us regular people for this book.
I think they secretly envious. Dignity gets dull, let me tell you guys.
The Book of Vice, Very Naughty Things and How to Do Them, just released this week. It's in bookstores or online everywhere. We've been talking to author Peter Sagal. Thanks a lot for joining us, Peter.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Thanks. Bye.
Psycho Body makes a return on the Kevin and Bean Show in the 7 o'clock hour, just after news at 7. We'll be taking your health and fitness questions for Psycho Mike. That's on the way. Also, David Koechner, very funny, very talented actor, is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour talking about Kevin's new favorite movie. Probably one of his 10 favorite movies of all time. Coming out soon.
Maybe.
First, Ralph is off for one more day. He'll be back tomorrow. We're taking a look at the showbiz beat. I don't know if you saw the commotion down at Hollywood and Highland yesterday. They had the street closed off. And when that happens, that means somebody's getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And I bring up this story because we've never been big fans of the whole Hollywood Walk of Fame thing as it is, because mostly it just seems like a promotional vehicle. You know, if you're Susan Sarandon and you got a movie coming out, the movie company buys you a star and you go down there and that's part of the publicity tour. It doesn't seem to have much to do with really who should be getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame anymore.
Right.
Yesterday, it was Ricky Martin's turn, folks.
What?
Ricky.
Now,
really?
Why?
In 2007, isn't part of the deal with the Hollywood Walk of Fame is you want people who are not just flashes in the pan, people who are 50 years from now, people are going to walk down the street and go, oh, I like that dude. Not who is that dude.
No, but that's the problem with this. You could walk down right now and you wouldn't know
no.
most of
yeah.
the people.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It just seems like Ricky Martin's day may have passed, and maybe it's not a good use of a piece of sidewalk in Hollywood right now for the future. That's all I'm suggesting, is maybe Ricky Martin isn't the choice for the new generation.
That's odd.
Didn't he peak about 10 years ago?
Did they really have to close the road for that?
I know, because there couldn't have been anybody there, right? Except for me, of course, where I picked up this hard-hitting interview as the K-Rock microphones were there.
Ricky Martin, say hi to L.A., man.
All the best for L.A.
So I think you
can
tell.
Nicely done. You got a lot out of him.
I was right there.
Yeah. All those old TV clips on YouTube, they're so great.
Yeah, yes.
You can type in anything on YouTube. Old TV will come right up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, not just old. If you missed a funny guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night, you can go to YouTube and see it usually.
Which I love.
As you know, Viacom sued YouTube for $1 billion for distributing material without permission.
Bastard.
YouTube is now giving a technology to help TV and film outlets remove copyrighted clips. So you're going to get that message more and more that says this video is no longer available. It has been removed.
When does that go into effect?
That's a bummer. I don't know. It doesn't say when.
We
it
knew it was
going
to happen.
Go get all your Small Wonder clips now, people. Okay?
How much did Google pay for YouTube when they bought it last year?
$1.7 billion.
And part of the reason they bought it is because this is where people go for TV clips.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might hurt. Yeah, that might not.
Maybe just a bit.
Yeah. I don't know if this story is true or not. And the reason I question is because it was in Ireland Online, and it's the only place that has reported it. It seems like if Britney Spears were really involved in another accident over the weekend, we'd have heard about it somewhere else.
Sure.
Ireland Online says, hey, maybe Britney wants to consider a personal chauffeur. After reversing into a paparazzo's car on Saturday night, she apologized, saying she was stupid and a horrible driver. The photographer promised not to sue and shrugged off the incident, according to this report. She is a terrible driver, by the way.
She's the worst. Do you see the panic on her face when she's trying to back up?
There's no question. And she has or had the money to hire somebody to drive her. Sure. Why wouldn't you?
Well, part of her problem is she is distracted by 800 cameramen standing around her car at all times.
Sure.
She's also always on the phone / smoking / drinking coffee / playing with her kids in their, you know, car seats in the back. I mean, she's always so unbelievably distracted when she's driving, in addition to being just stupid in general.
Yeah, maybe that first part is the key. She is stupid.
Right, right.
Way more than any of us thought.
Oscar winner Sean Penn, in a rare interview, is also talking about the paparazzi, by the way. He tells the same tabloid, Ireland Online, that he would like to see the paparazzi put in a cage where you can poke them with a stick for a quarter. So that tells you what he thinks about them.
He has not had a good relationship, as I recall,
you think?
With the paparazzi.
Ever since he married Madonna and had to go through being in a fishbowl for a couple of years, he has always hated them. And by the way, I don't blame him, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
He calls the paparazzi an attack on mankind as well as a disease.
I would guess that, like all different jobs. And by the way, we need to do Ask a Paparazzi.
Yeah.
Great idea.
I would guess that just like all businesses, there are some horrible people who ruin it for everyone. I would bet that most of the people that do that job aren't that bad.
People aren't really following Sean Penn around with cameras,
not anymore,
right?
But he's right. When he was married to Madonna.
Remember, he was the very first guy to actually act on it. He was the first guy to punch out a paparazzi
and smash
a
camera
in the early 80s. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm going to say something else about these cameras, by the way. Don't they have cameras now that can take a picture that you can see from more than 10 feet away? Why do you have to be 4 inches from the celebrity to take pictures now? What's up with that?
Because all the other paparazzi's in front of you.
Yeah, they're elbowing each other. They all rude to each other. You see them at a red carpet or something like that, they hate each other.
Yeah.
Get out of my way. I need a shot. That's my paparazzi. That's the only voice I do right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's very good. Here's a new TV show, maybe just new to me. Dave's probably already seen it. He's got the box set on DVD already. It's a new version of MTV's Real World called Real World Tiaras. They put a Miss USA, a Miss Universe, former Miss Teen USA, and a former Miss USA all sharing an apartment together in New York City.
I'm in. When's that?
Yes, please, right?
That's a collection of stupid.
It's odd today. I mean, this is the dream we've all had of all the hotties living in an apartment with a webcam. I mean, this is the next best thing, right?
Boobs.
Exactly.
What's the name of it? Real World?
MTV Real World Tiaras. Fantastic. Is the name of the show. So that's definitely something to look for. And finally, Vanessa Hutchins news. You know, she's the star with My Sweet Zach of High School Musical 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. There was a report yesterday that she had just signed a $1 million contract with Skechers. She was going to replace Ashley Simpson to do the ads and the commercials for Skechers, the shoe company.
Right.
Now there's a report that that is not going to be the case. Not only that, things are worse, that Disney has finally decided, an insider says, that they do not want Vanessa back for High School Musical 3. This is the next one that they're making that's going to be in theaters. They feel that as long as Zach is in the movie's going to be fine. He's the real star, and most importantly, he comes without the baggage, and that she may, as a result of those naked pictures, end up losing a role in the next High School Musical movie.
Wow, that surprises me.
That surprises me, too.
Seems like a bad marketing move.
To me, too.
I'm just saying, people are already over at Disney. Nobody's going to not go see the movie because she's in it because she took a digital photo of herself naked in her bedroom. Nope. Let's face it.
I'm going to get a copy of that.
Well, it's on the internet, Rhonda. You can find it anywhere. You may be just overreacting just a bit.
Not Disney. Right? No.
Yeah,
oh, wait.
Exactly.
This just in. Everything Disney does is fantastic.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
We think they're the best. Today's celebrity birthday is George Wendt, always best be known for sitting at the bar as Norm on Cheers, is 59 years old today. How about Norm MacDonald? Very funny man, 44. Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC and his mortal enemy Eminem both celebrate birthdays today. They're 36 and 35, respectively. Crazy actress Margot Kidder is 59. And the great Michael McKean from everything from Laverne and Shirley to the Christopher Guest movies to Spinal Tap to he was on the Jiminy Glick show as the band leader. The guy's just everywhere, and he's great in everything. And he turns 60, and that is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Psycho Mike is annoying, clearly. We've received your emails and Afro calls. We know you hate him. We hate him, too. But there is one thing that he is good at, and that's talking about health and fitness. That's Psycho Mike's clearly radio isn't his talent. Bodybuilding is where he needs to spend most of his time, and sure, that's what he's been working on for a long time. And that's why it's time for another edition of the Kevin DeBean Psycho Body.
You ready to get pumped? Are you, ladies?
Way Psycho to sell Mike, it. Way to sell it.
An actual trainer, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. You're still training people or not anymore?
Yeah. Still got a couple ladies in my stable.
Oh, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
So we take calls from people trying to get in any kind of shape. And whatever questions you have, what's today's topic, Psycho?
Today is going to be general diet guidelines, good diet guidelines. You know, I realize that the overwhelming amount of the public is not as narcissistic as I am.
Oh, not even close.
And, really, the real reason that most diets fail, if you ask any woman, you know, 18 to 50, most of them have been on a diet for over half their life.
Of course.
But they don't realize that they're making horrible dietary decisions. So today I'd just like to kind of clear up some really big misconceptions in the diet and nutrition industry.
The one problem with the diet and nutrition industry is that it does seem like every year there's something new.
Right.
And then you do that, and then the next year they tell you, oh, no, that was bad, do this.
No, Kevin.
Oh, no, that was bad, do this.
You're exactly right. And it's an industry that fills people's minds with a lot of different ideas, and every week there's something new and different. So that's why I want to concentrate on making sure that people understand the tenets of eating properly that have been sound advice for over 100 years, things that don't change, you know, because like you said, things go all haywire every week. You know, there's a new study showing that something else is bad for you that was good for you a week before.
Okay.
What should we focus on?
Well, like I said, the number one reason a lot of people fail is because of ignorance when it comes to diet, because they've been told, you know, terrible things since the beginning. Women mostly avoid fat at all costs. That's the number one thing. You talk to all women, they just say, well, I just don't eat fat because fat is what makes me fat.
Right.
In actuality, you need a lot of dietary fats, good dietary fats, to help your metabolism function properly. And things like eggs, olive oil, avocados, nuts of all sorts. Those are things that you should definitely be putting in your diet. And things that are low in fat that typically a lot of people stock up on that they think they're doing a good job. Things like bagels, any white bread product, you know, these low-fat cereals that you see advertised, things like that. Low-fat products, new low-carb, low-fat products that you see, pizzas and things like that. Those are terrible for you. They're filled with hydrogenated oils, maltodextrins, and a bunch of fillers.
You don't tell me about maltodextrins.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the bottom line is that there's a study in 1997 that a lot of like dietary experts like to look back to. It first came out in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition by these guys named Eaton and Connor that showed that the human DNA in the last 40,000 years has only changed about 0.02%. Okay, so that's since like like Cro-Magnon man,
right.
Our bodies have not really changed very much at all, okay. A minute amounts. But the human diet has changed immensely because of technology.
Especially in the last 100 years.
Right. Agriculture, exactly. The development of mass, you know, commercial agriculture and things like that. So, you know, typically the rule of thumb is try to adhere to eating things that are on the earth naturally without human hands.
Hot
you know
processed.
What I'm saying? Right.
Do you have a different timeline for any of our Republican friends that may be listening who have only been on the earth for 6,000 years, Mike?
I'm very sorry, all of you people who believe in intelligent design.
Pretty much the
same apologize,
thing.
But I'm a believer in God, but I'm also a believer in dinosaurs. So we're going to just adhere to this for today.
Since we get off the air at 10, eggs, olive oil, nuts.
Right.
What else is good?
You know, a lot of things are good. I'm just, like I said, I wanted to focus on the good fats, people that typically people see as bad because they hear the word fat.
Okay.
But things like you said, eggs, olive oil, nuts, fish, obviously high-fat fish, things like salmon and haddock, any type of fish oil.
And what about meat?
You know, lean meat is...
Of course, Lisa asks.
Yeah. Another thing, everybody has this idea that red meat is bad for you. In actuality, lean cuts of red meat are one of the best things you can put in your body. So, you know,
unless you're vegetarian, then
you know, and typically a lot of women will wake up in the morning and they'll avoid any type of protein or anything, thinking that they're making a good decision to eat processed white breads or processed products that are low in fat, but they're filled with, you know, sugars and fillers and things like that.
Right.
A lot of processed white starches that are going to, you know, eventually make you fat.
What about Cheetos, Mike?
Cheetos, although a very good source of protein, not one of your better choices.
No, they don't make the cut. Come
on. Let me ask you two questions to try and clarify. What's the food that people think is the best for them that's actually the worst?
I would go with both wheat products and dairy products.
Okay, what is the worst for them that most people think is the best for them?
I thought that's what you just asked.
How about the other way around then?
Okay. What's the best thing for them that they think is the worst?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely eggs and red meat. Both eaten in moderation amount as far as, you know, looking at it from a calorie standpoint, are very, very good foods for you. I mean, the cereal board, for instance, made this huge claim that eggs raise your cholesterol. You know, during
the 80s,
people became very concerned with heart disease and cholesterol. Eggs, they in fact do raise cholesterol, but they raise your HDL, which is your good cholesterol.
Oh, okay.
So things like this, very all-natural foods that come from, like I said, come from God, that have been around for thousands of years, that were available for, you know, the Paleolithic era, are things that are chemically appropriate for the human system. And those are things that you should try to stick to. You know, obviously, there's a million different details and things that could be tweaked for every different person.
But let me ask you, you said dairy. So what about, like, low-fat cottage cheese, low-fat yogurt? String cheese, that kind of stuff. Is that all bad?
If you take dairy and you put it into different, you know, categories, yogurt and cottage cheese, things like that are obviously going to be a much higher on the list than, say, block of cheddar.
It's not as bad as some stuff.
Or a glass.
Right.
But
still,
in general,
overall, not good,
in
huh?
general, not something that the human body really likes to eat.
I mean,
it, you know, and it's filling for a lot of people because it creates a lot of mucus in your body, which is not a good thing, though. I mean, a lot of women see it as being filling and have a lot of calcium. But in the end, it's not something that your body really tolerates well, and you should try to avoid it if you really want to have it.
So where do you get calcium?
Think high-fat fishes and cruciferous vegetables, things like your broccolis and your cauliflower, things like that, which you should definitely load up on, are very, very high in calcium. And people like me who don't eat any dairy at all are perfectly fine when it comes to calcium.
Okay. Cruciferous vegetables.
Interesting.
All right. Doesn't make you any less of a blowhard. All right, listen, Psycho Mike is here. We're going to take your phone calls for the Psycho Body. And I guess specifically what we're looking for today are food-related questions, right, Mike? We're looking for whether a food is good and appropriate and helpful for what it is you're trying to do or not.
Yeah, like I said, the people who are there who are really trying to make a good conscious effort to eat healthy, but they don't know what to eat.
There is a Count Chocula exception, though, whereas you know it's bad, but it's worth it, right, Mike?
No, there's only an exception for In-N-Out. That's it.
Oh, that's an exception, too.
All right.
And Diet Coke, as long as you drink Diet Soda, as many as you want a day, right?
Oh, it's thousands. In fact, thousands a day.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Don't just get fit. Get psycho. Don't just get strong. Get psycho. Don't just get big. Get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
We are taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about nutrition and food today on the Psycho Body on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start down there on line 7 with Jennifer, who's calling us from Mission Viejo. I imagine this has got to be one of the most commonly asked questions, certainly from Kevin and Bean listeners. Good morning, Jen. You're on with the Psycho Body.
Good morning, Lisa May, Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Okay, Psycho Mike, my question is, how can I continue to drink alcohol and lose weight?
That's a great question.
Yes, thank you.
I will answer your question, but let me first give you a disclaimer that alcohol is one of the biggest poisons you could put in your body, and it's not going to help your diet.
Again,
if you're going to go out and you're going to party and you want to still kind of watch your waistline, stick to hard liquor without sodas and additives and things like that. Beer and wine are filled with empty calories, and they're going to put
fat on beer, no wine.
Yeah, I mean, drink Jack on the Rocks, drink rum and Diet Coke, things that are devoid of sugars.
Problem with that is hard liquor makes me either naked or angry.
Well, listen,
wait a minute, hold on. What's the problem?
Hey, at least if you end up naked, you'll be thin.
And that's the most important thing.
Right.
Thank you for the
that's
call.
A real I mean, you can't have your cake right and eat it too. I'm sorry.
You shouldn't eat
any
cake, really.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to line 3. We've got Victor calling
Lisa.
From Montclair on the Kevin and Bean Show. Victor, you're on with the Psycho Body. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's your question?
I'm in the soccer team, trying to keep up with my teammates, but I feel like I'm left behind trying to stay fit with them.
You have no energy?
No, I have no stamina.
Okay.
What about some foods for energy and stamina, Mike?
All right. First off, try out for the football team and stop it with the gay sport. And secondly, before you practice, about an hour before you practice, have a good source of lean protein, egg whites, chicken breast, something like that. But also yams. Yams or sweet potato is to me, the best energy-providing source of carbohydrates. It really does give you a noticeable sense of like an uplift.
Really?
Now, that, for me, in my system, is a really good way. But also, any like good quality, long-lasting source of carbohydrates like yams, you know, something like that. But
or Snickers.
For me, that's the number one recommendation. Yams and couple it with a good source of protein, not Snickers.
And about an hour before he plays?
Yeah, about an hour to an hour and a half is a good digestion time to where it'll actually start hitting your system before. And it also kind of empty it out a little, too, so you won't have a full stomach before you hit the field.
All right. Speaking of timing, let's try Tim on line 4. He's in Redondo Beach. He's got a food-related question and workouts. Hi, Tim. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Morning, everybody.
Hi, Tim.
What's your question?
Hey, I work out 6 days a week at 5 in the morning. So my question is, what do I eat and when before and after my workouts?
Before your workouts, especially because you're working out early in the morning, you're going to want to have – this is the one time you are okay to have simple sugars, things that are, you know, what would be considered bad.
Like,
things like honey. Not Pop-Tarts in general, but things like honey or rice cakes with maybe some jam or something like that. Something that fast-digesting sugary carbohydrates right before and right after your workout. Couple that with a whey protein shake, and that's probably your best bet. You know, it'd be a lot easier to go to like GNC and get like a pre-workout, post-workout deal with the dextrose, something like that. But as far as a quick fix, just have yourself a piece of fruit or some rice cakes and a whey protein
shake. Are your dirt shakes that you drink in here whey protein?
Yeah, they're a mixture, whey protein.
Second, Mike, why is soda the worst thing in the world you can put in your body?
Well, because soda is absolutely devoid of nutrients. There's nothing in it except for sugars. I mean, it is completely devoid of nutrients. There's nothing in it.
Even diet soda, same deal?
Yeah, diet soda is just as bad. I mean, it, obviously, you're not getting the calories or the processed sugars. But at the same time, there's no positive to putting it in your body.
Taste.
It is completely devoid. And, these are all man-made artificial fillers and sweeteners and things like that. And like I said, when the human body was designed, you know, they didn't have these chemicals in mind when, you know, we were made. Our DNA it's not chemically appropriate for our body.
Buzzkill!
And I've got another sugar question. What about artificial sweeteners? What about somebody who uses Sweet and Low or Equal or something like that?
And
is that good or bad?
Way
I wasn't
back.
Even thinking of Lisa, but I mean, do those things help you or no?
Of course they're going to help you stay on your diet because it kind of curbs your sweet tooth without giving you the sugars, but they're not something that you should overload on. I mean, using them in moderation, you're fine, but some people go way over the top. I see people use 40 packets at one lunch with their iced tea because they put 5 or 6 in each iced tea. I mean, you got to understand in moderation when it comes to those artificial sweeteners.
That's not good. I know we're out of time, but Susie has a really interesting question, and I know so many people who've done this.
Well, let's ask it for her then. Master cleanse, does it work or is it just a fad?
It's not something you want to do. You never want to go on any extended amount of fast.
Does it work?
It's not good for your body. I'm sure you'd lose
weight.
In the
short term, yeah.
You're sure you'd lose weight, but a lot of it's going to be water weight and not weight that you'd want to lose. You know, stuff that you...
And then it comes back when you're not doing it?
Sure, exactly.
Okay. All right, let me have the final question because it's my favorite food, and that is, what about peanut butter?
Peanut butter.
Good point.
All natural peanut butter, the kind you get at the Trader Joe's or at the health food store. In fact, they even sell it at most supermarkets now. Just 100% all natural peanut butter.
Right, like Amy's or one of those brands.
Right, Laura Scudder, stuff like that. A very, very good food for you. A very good food. Calorically dense, high in fat, but very nutritious and can be helpful on your diet if you have one or two tablespoons a day. Your regular, you know, Peter Pan or anything with the high, you know, sugar and additives and stuff like that, something you want to avoid. I mean, those are the type of choices you have to make when you go to the supermarket.
What about frosting? Is that good?
Like I gave that up too.
Oh, can't just eat that straight out of the
thing? No, no, no.
All right. Well, okay. You're a
typically
bummer.
Not.
All right.
If you're a genetic god like you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for knowing. Oh, no, you get the idea that that was the last time of about 100 times that they recorded that?
Yes, they just added energy.
Okay, let's just start singing this song, for God's sake.
It's Nirvana on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. The great David Koechner joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. What a resume, by the way. Of course, you know, you think of the Anchorman, of course.
Sure.
He was in Dukes of Hazzard, Snakes on a Plane,
sure.
The Tenacious D movie, Balls of Fury. I mean, this guy has the best resume in Hollywood, as far as I'm concerned. And he's in the new one, too, the new sports movie that's coming out on Friday. It looks very funny. We'll talk to him coming up after 8. First, the Kevin Amin Afro line on the air, 323-520-AFRO. That's the number. You pick up the phone, give us a call, we play it back.
A lot of talk about interrogating prisoners, especially this time in the world. This guy, I think, has a good solution.
You know, I worked for one of the local police agencies, and we just came up with a great idea how to torture the convicts. We're going to make them listen to Rodney on the Run. That'll get them to calm them down on Sunday nights.
That's just mean.
I ran into our friend Jesse James a couple of days ago, you know, from the Monster Garage.
Sure.
And we were having a little conversation. Somehow Rodney's name came up. And he told me the funniest story about when he was growing up. And I guess when Jesse was growing up, Rodney was probably in his 50s back then. And he was doing his show here on K-Rock. And Jesse used to prank call Rodney every single time Rodney was on the air. And back then, this is before we had the 7-sec delay on radio, right? So he would call up and go, "Hi, Rodney, I really wanted to talk to you about that new F you. And he said Rodney's poor little head, his poor little page boy haircut would just spin. He just was so flustered, he didn't know what to do. Oh, I'd pay money to hear that call.
That's awesome.
So funny.
Lisa May was talking about becoming a Boston Red Sox fan, and we said,
yeah.
What? First
yeah,
of all, first of all baseball. Second of all, Red Sox. And she said, that's my boyfriend's favorite team.
Lisa May has a boyfriend? Ugh. Just there's no point in listening to you idiots anymore.
I didn't hear what he said.
Sorry about that.
He said there's no point in listening anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I just couldn't actually make it out.
He thought he had a chance with you. Yeah.
When you're high, the songs that you write aren't quite as good as they sound to you in your head.
I love to get high. Legalize marijuana. I love going to the 99 cent store. When I'm high. Love to play some PlayStation. When I'm high.
Fantastic,
all right.
As do we all. We get an occasional call from somebody who actually works here.
Hey, guys. David Kigo, Mexico here. How great was Heroes last night? But you know what? It gets better next week when Kristen Bell joins the cast. 6 days. Woo!
Dave's okay. So happy.
Yeah. Dave's 5 feet from us. He can't just walk in here and say that.
He has to
call the Afro line. That's what he has to do.
Monday night, Kristen Bell joins the cast of Heroes. Monday morning, we'll talk to her here on the Kevin Amin Show.
Bean has Asperger's, and he won't admit
nope.
it.
Yep.
But he
nope.
is.
Yep.
You will admit that you're obsessed with numbers.
Well, yeah.
Bean
yeah.
one time actually went to a grocery store and tried to talk them out of their phone number because he liked it. He wanted to use it, so he wanted them to change their number. He actually talked to them about
that. That's insane.
So this is it doesn't sound like a huge burn to you and I, but this is to Bean.
Bean. Hey, Bean, I live out here on the East Coast in a town called Agawam in the state of Massachusetts, and just wanted to let you know I have the lowest zip code in the nation, 01001. Thanks.
That is a burn. I will tell you.
He loves numbers.
I think one of the reasons that I love post offices so much is because I am so fascinated with zip codes and how they're distributed. I think that's part of it.
Okay. How can you be fascinated with zip codes?
No, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that another time.
Just so neat.
Yep.
Oh,
neat.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of neat, we played some audio yesterday of a reporter who was talking about a phantom pooper.
Yes.
We're going to talk to her in 1 hour from right now. But this call came in on that topic.
I am the phantom pooper. It is I who hold Idaho in my poop-encrusted hand. Tremble, Idaho, as I squat on the sidewalk of justice. Shrink as I drop my dirty little kids off the pool. The public pool, that is. I and my minion, the urinator, will not stop until we make pooping. Number one.
Let's play that for the reporter next hour. Maybe they can add that to their newscast.
Hey, dude, what's going on? When is that show tonight with DJ Omar Khan and Psycho Mike?
We really want to go.
I want to know when it is and what time it starts and what is going to be going on at this show tonight.
Wait.
I also want to know where I can get tickets. Answer our questions, please, Kevin and Bean. Ha ha, you guys are funny.
Mike, you and Omar. What was that all about?
What? Why wouldn't you just stupid. Ask random, you're in the studio?
Random callers.
All right, well,
was it even on the phone? It didn't even sound like it was on the phone.
Well, random callers, the show is tonight at 9 o'clock at the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Boulevard.
What will be happening there?
My band, Bandpax, will be playing our original songs and all the Kevin and Bean favorites, like Firecrotch, Brow Down, and a song that sounds a lot like Hey There, Delilah.
Will there be any other bands I may have heard of on the bill?
Yes. Sanchez, who plays the Dick Cheney song on our show a lot, will be headlining. Plus, DJ Omar Khan, the best DJ in Los Angeles, will be spinning music in between the sets.
Wow, how can I buy tickets?
Either go to the door or go to Ticketmaster and put in the words Hump Day. Hump Day. Ooh. It's a play on words because it's going to be humpalicious and it's Wednesday.
Who will benefit from the proceeds of the ticket sales?
People of the Mekong Delta.
Is it really a benefit for Thai hookers?
It is. Yeah.
To buy Thai hookers?
Not
or
limited
does...
to Thai, Burmese, Laotian, all of the Mekong but, area.
Mike, aren't they already getting enough of our money? Why are we raising money for them? I still don't understand the point of this.
I believe we're trying to help them get out of that.
Yes.
Life.
Because sexual slavery is not funny.
Okay, there you
okay.
go.
All right, so that show is tonight, apparently. So, random callers, thank you for the question. In case you're wondering, Ralph Garman will return tomorrow. He'll be in this chair and doing the Showbiz Beat. In the meantime, we're taking a look at all the cool stuff that's happening. Us Magazine reporting today that Lindsay Lohan's new boyfriend was engaged to a woman named Bree Tierney, and that Bree only found out that her fiancé had moved on when she read about it in the tabloids. How classy is that? Is that the best?
Wow. She is good at that, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
You pick up the tabloids and you go, ooh, let's see what Lindsay Lohan is up to. Wait a minute. She's dating this guy with the same name that my fiancé has.
Whore.
This is, of course, Riley Giles we're talking about, the snowboarder that she met during her two-month stay at the Cirque Lodge, that treatment center in Utah. Until recently, he was engaged to this woman, and here's what the woman's mom says in Us Magazine. Riley just stopped calling Bree and never told her about Lindsay.
Jeez.
She found out by seeing the photos and the story in the tabloids. It destroyed her.
Wow.
So that is a very, very, that's a very classy story.
Good riddance of Riley, I say.
Well, let's face it.
Lindsay and Riley deserve each other.
Yeah.
But it's not like Lindsay and Riley are going to be together for very long either. I mean, Lindsay doesn't exactly stick with them, does she?
Nope.
Here's why Michelle Rodriguez rules. As you know, she had that ankle bracelet that told people if she was drinking, and she got caught three times drinking.
Right.
So apparently she's going to go to jail soon. But the New York Daily News reports that the former Lost actress had lots of fun and debauchery in Las Vegas over this weekend. Before she went into jail, she's supposed to report on the 24th of December, which is a great day to report to jail.
Wow.
Apparently, she was in Vegas. She spun the, quote, wheel of sin to decide which drink would go on special for that hour.
All right.
Spinning the wheel of sin. That's how you want to spend your time in Vegas.
She's a partier.
Now I have a question about her. Since she already has to go back to jail for violating probation and not being where she was supposed to be and drinking while she's on the monitor, now that she's already going back, can she just start drinking like crazy between now and December 24th, or does she still have to stay sober?
Well, obviously she doesn't. I don't know. I don't know if she's supposed to, if the judge is going to, if they could bring more charges against her, I imagine.
I imagine it seems if she doesn't get in a car, it doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah, it seems like once you've already, even with the alcohol bracelet on, once you've already been caught drinking and you're going back to jail, why stop?
But I don't know if you still have the bracelet on, though, or anklet. Don't you keep getting caught, though, with more charges then? Or no?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Because all she was supposed to not drink.
Right.
And she blew that three times. So now, according to the New York Daily News, she had a great time in Vegas over the weekend. And we need to create our own Wheel of Sin.
I like the Wheel of Sin. That's a fantastic idea. Speaking of sin, there's a website that I try to visit every day. It's no TMZ.com. Don't get me wrong. That's still the gold standard for showbiz stories. But one of the funniest of the entertainment sites is called What Would Tyler Durden Do? Yes. WWTDD.com is the site. And if you go there today, for instance, you'll see some great naked pictures of actress Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl, right?
Right.
And one of the things I love about Tyler, besides the fact that they don't blur out the good parts, Harvey, if you're listening, with TMZ.com, one of the things I like is how funny the captions are. Ever heard of Ultra Magazine? Yeah, me neither, but they bought some early nude modeling pictures of Jamie Presley, and it's easy to see why nude modeling was a rocket ship to stardom for her. Every picture is a different journey and a rainbow of emotions ranging from disinterested to uninterested to sleepy to actually asleep. I've seen ransom pictures that are hotter than this. I've taken ransom pictures that are hotter than this. Basically, she's posing for naked pictures as if someone is holding a gun to her family just out of frame. And I got to agree, although she's got a sporty little body, Jamie Presley does not exactly seem to be enjoying the photos being taken in this particular
series. That's important. Isn't that an important part of it?
I think so.
You want to imagine she's having the time of her life.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's loving it and she's thinking about you. But if you want to see her boobies, you can go to WWTDD.com.
Hey, Ebenezer, don't ever refer to a girl's body as sporty again.
What? She's got a sporty,
sporty little body.
I'm saying she's got a...
He's right. My dad wouldn't even say
little,
that.
A tight little body. That's
so
all
good.
I'm saying.
Yeah. Hey, put your monocle back on your top hat. Go to Gatsby's house.
Psycho Mike, you're going to love this story. I did it earlier. Most movie gurus would agree that Transformers starlet Megan Fox, hot. She disagrees. The brunette, blue-eyed actress tells the British tabloid The London Sun that she not only thinks she's not attractive, she thinks she looks like Steve Buscemi from The Sopranos.
Yeah!
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, she's just fishing for compliments then at that point, isn't she? Come on.
Don't know.
Buscemi looks like a bug, and she looks like a goddess.
I know.
She's crazy.
I hope she really believes that. I hope when she looks in the mirror, she feels repulsed.
Okay,
I hope she's ashamed of herself.
But what if we were trying to get her on the show in the near future?
No, I love her.
That's what I thought.
But I'm saying, lower the self-esteem in proportion to her hotness? Perfect.
Nice. Yeah. How's Hot Chicks with Low Self-Esteem? How's your new website, hotchickswithlowselfesteem.com?
Lightning, seriously, start working on it. That's going to be my first website. Start buying that right now. Hotchickswithlowselfesteem.com.
What are you going to put up on there? Just pictures of Megan Fox? I mean, what's your goal for that?
The perfect women of the world. Women who are hot that have low self-esteem.
I don't understand.
Okay?
All right. Wow, where's Tom Likas when we need him? You know what I'm saying? TV ratings are out. According to the Nielsen's, Dancing with the Stars remains the number one most watched television show in America. And there's no excuse for that, people. I understood a couple of years ago, maybe when it was summertime and there was nothing else, and at least it had stars in a bizarre, unique concept. I understand maybe checking it out back then. But now you know what it is. Now you know it's some B actress dancing. I mean, why are people tuning in by 15 million people a week to watch Marie Osmond dance? What's going on in the world?
Dude, you got me.
Because they wouldn't watch her sing.
You got me.
Yes.
What's happening?
I really don't know. We had that guy on and we mocked him endlessly. Oh, a dancing show. What a great idea.
I know.
Number one.
Number one. Last night on the show, this is what I'm talking about, people. Who are you? Last night on the show, Wayne Newton, who's 65 years old, comes out to sing Dankeschön, okay? Gloria Estefan comes out to sing Rhythm Is Gonna Get You from the freaking Miami Sound Machine, which sucked in the 80s.
That's the worst. That, to me, is the worst music ever. I hate her.
How is this the number one show in America? You have people ballroom dancing, you've got Wayne Newton, and you've got Gloria Estefan as the musical acts. What is wrong?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, number one, then CSI, Grey's Anatomy.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, dude. Nothing matters.
Well, except number seven is the Tuesday results show for Dancing with the Freaking Stars.
Oh, yeah, that matters.
I have to say, my defense, when I did watch it, I fast-forwarded through everything but the dancing. Now, I know you hated the dancing, but there
it's
was something
bad.
Kind of dramatic about it.
It's just
kind
a competition,
fun.
You mean?
Yeah.
Any kind of competition?
Yeah. It was kind of cool.
Find some other competition.
I think what we're saying, though, is stop it. I mean, watch the Bassmaster Fishing. Watch that. That's competition, too. Why not? That's more exciting than watching these idiots.
Don't get it, man. All right. I don't get it.
And finally, not confirmed, but it's 90% certain, according to sportsbybrooks.com, that the Eagles, yes, not the football team, certainly, but the musical act, the Eagles, will be the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl show in Phoenix on February 3rd.
Well, that's okay.
I think it's not a terrible choice.
They're working their way toward good. I mean, it certainly is way better than Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, who has been a halftime entertainer in recent years. Of course, Prince was last year. He put on a phenomenal show. I mean, that was kind of the resurrection of Prince for a lot of people when they saw how good he was. And this website, sportsbybrooks.com, is the same one that broke that news that he was going to be performing. So they do have a track record in this area, being pretty reliable. About 90% it is confirmed that the Eagles. Of course, you're going to be seeing a lot of the Eagles in the weeks and months to come because they got a big tour that's, what did you say, Kevin, kicking off tonight, I guess, right, at that new venue.
They're opening up the Nokia Theater tonight, right across from Staples Center. They're playing with the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That'll be huge.
Opening night tonight.
They've got their first all-new studio album since 1980 coming out later this month, available through their website and at Walmart, too. And, you know, this is a band a lot of people thought would never, ever, ever get back together, but they are, and apparently playing the Super Bowl. So we'll see if that one pans out. It's not a terrible choice. Today's celebrity birthday is just ahead of David Koechner, the actor coming in as our guest on KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles, right after the news. Today's celebrity birthdays include, George Wendt from TV's Cheers, 59 years old today. He was Norm. Mike Judge, creator of Beavis and Butthead. And, of course, King of the Hill, very talented guy. Office Space was his movie, one of the all-time cult classics at the theater. He's 45 years old today. Funny man Norm MacDonald, 44. Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC turns 36. You've never heard of him, yet nope. This guy is in one of the biggest bands of all time, or was. 36 years old. Eminem, 35, and crazy actress Margot Kidder turns 59, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Psycho Mike, let me tell you which one of our listeners you hate the most more than anyone in the whole wide world ever. Are you ready?
Yeah.
His name is Braden Parker from Corona Del Mar, okay. The proud owner of Hot Chicks with LowSelfEsteem.com.
Bastard! Son of a bitch! It was two minutes ago we were talking
we
about
did
it.
Try to buy it, and he beat us to it.
Oh, my God.
Well, you can't say on the air, hey, that's a million-dollar idea, and then not expect somebody's going to swoop it. You got to buy it before you talk about it,
well,
you idiot.
Pardon me for having a little trust in humanity.
Well, I'm just saying, Braden Parker, you think you're now going to blackmail us and we're going to pay some huge fee for the site. In reality, you just wasted your money because we're not going to buy it from you. So
at least I hope he'll do with his website what you do with all yours, which is nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Shut up, Lisa. 8:14 on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. The Comebacks is the movie. It opens up on Friday. One of the stars of the film and one of our favorite actors in general, David Koechner, joining us in the Kevin and Bean Show studio. Good morning, Dave. How are you, man?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
I'd like to read a list of movies that you've been in, if you don't mind.
Oh, please. Set to music.
Balls of Fury. Reno 911 Miami. Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny. Snakes on a Plane. Talladega Nights. Larry the Cable Guy. The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Dukes of Hazzard. Anchorman.
Where's the AFI tribute to David Koechner? That's what I want to say.
Your Anchorman is the movie for me that I can watch the most.
Yeah.
That I've been able to just, I put it on my video iPod or whatever, and I can watch it from any point through the end. That movie is awesome to me.
It gets funnier every time.
And you, of course, were the sports guy in that. Now you're a coach.
Now
you're
a
head coach.
Yeah, I have a thematic career.
You certainly do.
It's all sport. Well, you look at you and
bad
you say sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I don't. That's good. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. I don't know how to respond, but if you say so, I'm going to believe it. You're trying to help me out. And
yeah,
I'm going. Gurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurgurg
question because we've had you as a guest on the show before, and I feel like we can be honest.
I think we can.
A lot of people try these parody movies. They try these airplane-type funny movies, and sometimes they work, and they're fantastic, and you love them, like the first couple of scary movies. And then sometimes they're a date movie. You know, sometimes they just they end up falling flat, and you can see what they're trying to do, but it's a disaster. In all honesty, the comebacks, the trailer looks phenomenal. Does the movie pan out?
Yes. It's just a fun ride. You're going to be absolutely in love with it. No, it's an adorable movie.
If the answer was no, would you still have said yes?
I probably wouldn't be here.
Okay, all right, good.
I would go, oh, yeah, see, I'm busy. I can't.
Or I'll
like
just
go
call you for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He came in. That's commitment.
He did come in. That is true.
It does say something.
Yes.
Will it vouch for it?
It's a lot of fun. There's so many movies you're going to recognize. It's so well done.
What kind of movies does it make fun of?
Well, you've got Invincible. You've got Field of Dreams. You've got Remember the Titans. You've got... there's 15 different ones.
Any sports movie that has any kind of sports theme.
Rudy?
Right?
No, yes, Rudy. It was the inspirational sports movie that we're spoofing,
okay.
Which I thought was even richer because they're so arch and misty and so filled with swell.
Yeah, they are.
That it's, you know, a big the Rookies spoofed, Rockies spoofed. And the other thing is you've got the thing to play with is that tone that is so arch.
Grandiose.
So grandiose. Yeah. And so we were just playing with that and making fun of all those moments. And not only that, it actually has a story that we hang all the spoofs on. And so you follow the coach and his family through their travails throughout the picture. And each one of the players has their own little story. So there's several arcs actually happening. And you do want the hometown team to win in the end. That's the other thing. When I read the script, I was like, oh, well, I know it's just a silly, goofy spoof movie, but... I mean, they're going to...
Are people going to cheer?
They're going to win, right? The comebacks will come back, right?
Now, you don't spoof We Are Marshall with the dead kids,
no.
Do you?
No,
that's a funny one. No. That's
I'm
funny
just
on
asking.
Its own.
I want to know. That's,
you know,
that doesn't need a parody.
That would be too much.
How about Alive, the soccer movie where they ate and they cannibalize each other in the plane crash? How about that one?
Because, you know, time, a tragedy plus time.
Oh, plus time. That's right.
Gravity, right.
No,
maybe
no.
That one, but no. Alive is not spoofed. Okay. Yes, I don't think anyone finds death
Brian's
funny.
Song, no.
Brian's Song, one of my favorite inspirational sports movies, is not spoofed.
That's all right.
But many, many other ones are, and it's so much fun. You're gonna laugh.
I'm excited.
Now, your coach's name is?
Lambeau Fields.
Well, sure he is. Of course he is. So you and your frozen tundra up there on the big screen. A movie like this seems like, and I have not heard anything about this, so I don't know if this worked out or not, but a movie like this seems ripe for cameos from actual sports figures. Is there any of that in the film at all?
Yes, there is. I play basketball against Dennis Rodman.
Really?
Oh, awesome.
He must make you look like a midget.
Yes, he does. It's amazing when you just stand next to a professional athlete.
Yeah, they're way bigger than you would ever think.
Their entire DNA structure is... It's such an elevated state compared to me. I'm like, wow, I'm not even evolved.
That's what a human being can look like?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I actually had this, like, the second day of shooting, I had to play basketball, and I'm not very good at it anyway, against Dennis Rodman, and it has to look like I beat him.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so, but he was a great sport.
Yeah, what was he like? Did he ever take his sunglasses off?
Yes. You know what? He was absolutely sweet. A sweet gentleman. That's the only way I could describe him.
Are you dating him now?
A sweet giant.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not gossip, okay, but, I mean, right. We may still be really close. No, he was absolutely wonderful.
Was he all hands on defense?
Hey. No, but you know the director kept saying, what? You can go ahead and get rough with him.
Oh, nice.
About me. I'm like, hey, man.
Hey, how about...
He threw me probably a quarter speed elbow that nearly knocked me on my
really?
Butt. I was like, wow, let's don't do that.
Let's not make it so real.
Yeah, really. Let's just, hey, man, I'll get, you know, let's do a camera angle where it looks like it.
Right, sure. Let's bring in a stand-in if you could. Yeah. Let's get a stunt guy here.
We also had Lawrence Taylor, Mike Lervin, Eric Dickerson.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. That was an amazing day on the set. Those guys were so much fun. Yes, go ahead.
The name of the movie is The Comebacks. We need to take a break. David Koechner is here, and we'll be right back.
David Koechner in the studio. The Comebacks is the movie parodying every sports movie you've ever seen and loved. That opens up everywhere on Friday. Dave, are you a sports fan of any type in your real life?
I am. I'm mostly a football fan.
Good man.
I like the Chiefs and the Bears. The Chiefs because I grew up in Missouri, and they were always my favorite. Mm-hmm. I had a Willie Lanier poster.
Old school.
Old school.
Yeah.
As a youth. And then I
haven't heard that name since he died, whenever that was.
Since the obituary. And then I'm a Bears fan. I lived in Chicago for 10 years, and you can't live there and not be a Chicago sports fan.
Right, sure.
So it's a mediocre season for both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's up and down all season. And I always get the football package, and I get to watch at least 20 minutes a week.
Yeah.
Well, that's worth the investment then, right?
Every year, I'm like, why am I spending the money?
Do you have the Red Zone channel?
No.
I know it's extra money, but but you can watch pretty much all of the important plays of every game all at once.
Right, no.
You can catch up. It's really great.
I spend the money on the package, and I'm kidding myself already there. So I'm not going to spend more. I thought this year maybe I wouldn't buy it, and that way I'd have to go, I have to go to my friend's house to watch the movie. How about I just take two of the kids, honey? We'll do a zone defense. You here with a deuce. I'll take off with a deuce and
So you have four kids.
I have the four.
Thereby making sure that you're never going to watch football.
No,
although, let me tell you this. My twin girls are so into Los Angeles Kings that I can't take them enough. And if I try to leave early, they get really angry with me.
Wow.
I mean, they're into it. They'll call penalties and everything else. You'll love that. You will. You'll love that. You'll start taking them to sporting events, and they'll start getting into it. It's fantastic.
They'll be your cover, Dave. That's what Kevin is saying. Nice. That'll be how you explain it to your wife.
Hey,
you have
girl,
to be gone
sure
all the time.
Would like to take you to the hockey game. Okay. Fantastic.
Gotta go. Right. Gotta leave for 4 hours, honey.
Let me ask a couple of TV questions, too. Of course, you're a big-time movie star. With those sexy good looks, how could you not be? But a couple
Thank
of TV questions. One is your recurring character on The Office, maybe the funniest show on TV, as Michael Scott's best friend. We have not seen you in a while. Will there be some sort of return of Todd?
Yes. In fact, I was supposed to do a show last week, but I was in New York promoting the comebacks, so I couldn't do it. But I'm hoping I do at least 10 or 20 this year.
Really?
Does that sound begging?
No, because they do hundreds in a season, so that's not much.
Certainly,
literally
they do.
Hundreds. It is a live show that's just streamcast.
Sure. Yeah.
I think I'm going to do a couple at least. I hope.
Okay.
So.
That show looks like it would be so much fun to work on with the way the actors interact with one another.
It truly is
so much fun.
It's a pretty loose show. They kind of let you have. It feels fun. And
who's the guy that plays Dwight?
Rainn Wilson.
You watch the extras on that DVD of The Office, and he is the one who cracks up, 90% of the time. You know, somebody always has to lose it laughing. Always him on the extras. It's very, very funny.
That's great.
Well, this movie that you're in this Friday, The Comebacks.
I'm sorry. Let me ask my second TV question just so I don't forget, because we have several emails stacking up from people who say, don't have Dave on and ask him what the hell's going on with Naked Trucker on Comedy Central. That was the last time we saw you, was when you were in for that.
Right.
I thought a pretty successful run on the channel, and then what? What happens now?
Well, modestly successful, as it turns out.
Okay. Well, it's a selective audience.
It's a very selective audience. It didn't get the ratings, so that's it. You know,
is it over?
No more TV show.
This is an act that you guys tried 20 years to get to television, and it lasted a month?
Yes, upon our silver anniversary of doing the show, we finally got a television show and didn't apparently know how to do it correctly.
Well, what are you
going to
do?
Isn't show business great? Don't you feel every day, thank God I made the decision I did?
I love it. Oh, more pain.
All right, so The Comebacks. You're the coach. I do have one clip we're going to play before we go. It's where you're trying to find the All-American quarterback. Who's talking to you? Is it God?
It is God.
All right, here you go.
How am I going to find an All-American quarterback?
If you build it, he will come.
Who will come?
Your father. Your dead father.
My father's not dead. I just spoke with him this morning.
Is this 314 Bentley Road?
Now, this is 314 Bentley Drive.
That damn Google Maps. Anyway, the quarterback you're looking for is out on the baseball field.
So there you go. That's the kind of thing you're going to get in that movie.
I think it's safe to say if you like that clip, if that sounds funny, which it does to me, you'll like the movie. Go see it. Right, Dave?
You're absolutely right. Go see it.
Dave Koechner, come in anytime you have anything to talk about. When you don't.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Just as good. The Comebacks is the name of it.
I understand we've done a lot of radio already today, Kevin. We've been on for more than 3 hours. We've had some good guests. We've had some laughs. But none of that matters.
Nope.
Really, we're just treading water. Just killing time to get to this point right now.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
Let me add.
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
And perhaps one more.
This program contains images which may be disturbing to younger or sensitive viewers. Parental discretion is advised.
Although this was on the news. This is a newscast from Idaho Falls.
If you missed it yesterday, we got an update here, and the reporter you'll hear in the story standing by to speak with us on the phone as we explore what's going on with the Phantom Pooper.
Well, we
live in eastern Idaho, where it's not hard to go outside and get a breath of fresh air.
But one local neighborhood can barely breathe because of a disgusting, gross, vile stench in the air.
Jolynn, that's right. I wanted to see what all this stink was about. Phew, and boy, did I find out. Now, I do have to warn you, what I found was disgusting, so if you have a queasy stomach, you might want to look away during parts of this.
A phantom pooper is taking a squat just out back of one Idaho Falls neighborhood.
If the wind blows the right direction, you can smell it through our back door.
Okay, so this is a reporter now who's going out and asking people about the phantom pooper.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Taking a squat.
Catch the person, though. I think it's disgusting. He should be put in jail.
Yes.
Here's the scoop on the poop. The city has gotten so many calls about the phantom pooper, they've set up a pooper stakeout to see if they could catch him doing his business.
But from what I understand, they still haven't caught him yet. Even though they've staked out the area and sat and watched, they still haven't caught up with him yet.
Okay, now here's where she recaps kind of what we know.
Here are the clues to the phantom pooper's identity as we know them. His preferential place to leave a log is under the Lindsay Boulevard overpass. He fancies himself a bit of a Rembrandt.
Now, here's my favorite part. He fancies himself a bit of a Rembrandt. Listen to this.
You know, I don't know why they'd want to finger paint with it.
But... Oh, come on. All right. Well, the voice on the tape is the voice on the phone here at K-Rock right now. Let's welcome KIDK Channel 3 reporter Mary Sturgill to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mary. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
What a great assignment. You're so lucky.
This is what you went to college for, right, Mary? This is it.
Yeah, it was an incredible assignment. Never in a million years did I think I'd ever have to cover that.
The phantom. Did you have a meeting in the morning where you go over the stories and somebody gets assigned to each story and they said phantom pooper Mary?
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. One of the reporters brought the story in from one of her sources and it got dumped on me.
So to speak.
Dumped on me. Yeah.
She can't stop.
Mary, where did the name the phantom pooper come from? Was that you?
No, that was actually the group. He's actually called the Phantom Defecator. So we softened it up
a little bit.
Oh, okay, wow.
I'm shocked that you soften anything up. Your newscast has got stinky and squat and leaving a log. That's a...
It took a long time to find all those different ways to say that.
Yeah, well, no kidding. How many people did you interview?
We interviewed two people, the two people that appeared, actually three people, sorry about that. We interviewed three people, two of them appeared in the piece.
Right.
And then some city officials who, you know, probably didn't want to appear in the piece.
Well, of course not. Nobody wants to appear in a piece on a phantom pooper.
Exactly.
Why did your station, by the way, thank God for the YouTube. I mean, obviously we wouldn't know about this report in Idaho Falls, Idaho, if it hadn't been for the YouTube. But
right. Why
did your station spend so much time on this story and go into such detail?
Well, when my news director came to me with the story, we talked about how to do it, and we wanted to make it funny. And, you know, we cover, you know, sex offenders and all the horrible news of the day, and we wanted to make this light and funny because, you know, the funniest thing is, you know.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Yeah, we know.
Right. We gotcha.
Yeah, so we wanted to make it light and funny, and I did talk him into moving the piece to 10 o'clock, so it's not during the dinner hour at 6 o'clock.
Right.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but what about this? I mean, we're all familiar with poop, yet you do go into a probably more detail than is necessary for the average viewer. When you start talking about, when you got that interview with the guy talking about the finger painting, Do you have to? Does it need to be on camera? Isn't the image already burned into the brain just when you hear that he smeared it all over the wall? I mean, do we need to see it?
I think, it's TV. You have to see something, and that's the topic of the day. So.
You know, I don't know why they want to finger paint with it, but.
Come on. All right, did they catch the phantom pooper?
No, he is still on the loose.
He's still at large.
He's still at large, yeah.
Is the theory that this is a statement he's making, or is he a homeless guy? He just doesn't have a place to go, or does he have some sort of mental illness? What are the theories behind it?
There are lots of theories. The main theory, I think, is that it's a homeless person, or if you look at video... There's so much of it. It's got to be more than one person, I think.
Yeah.
But,
really? So you have a copycat phantom pooper?
I think we do. It's since I did the story, I found out that it happens all across the nation.
Mary, you know what's really weird about this is it does happen all across the nation.
Yeah.
And we had this problem for about 6 months.
Yep.
Where it would happen clearly away from the toilet.
In our studio.
And there were people like trying to catch who it was. And somebody reported that he saw blue shoes. And we were checking everybody for blue shoes. I mean, what? How common is this?
Apparently, it's very, very common. Well, one gentleman in the piece talked, he owns a campground and he's in connection with campgrounds all across the country. And apparently it happens in every campground across the country. So,
gross.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have, by the way, if you're just joining us, Mary Stergel is on the line. She is a very fine reporter in Idaho Falls, Idaho for Channel 3 there. We're talking about the phantom pooper story that we brought you yesterday. There's a woman in the piece, I don't know if we have the tape available, who talked about how she could understand if the guy pooped once. All right, everybody gets a pass when you gotta go.
Right.
And then she starts going into all this detail about how you can kind of feel it coming on and you ought to be able to plan better ahead. I mean, like, there's been more investigative reporting from your station in Idaho Falls on the phantom pooper than we've had in all of the war of Iraq. I mean, it's unbelievable the resources you put into this story.
And you know what? It's the story people are talking about.
All right, let me ask
you. It's what people want to know about, apparently.
It is. It's the first time we've had you on. Let me ask you one last question.
Sure.
You see occasionally a TV show where there are a bunch of fires being started and the fireman shows up and he's the hero. And it turns out the fireman was setting the fires so he could be the hero.
Interesting.
What are you suggesting,
Mary?
Kevin?
Are you the phantom? Are you the phantom pooper?
No, I am not.
And then you go out and interview people about it.
Exactly. No, I am not. But we have had several emails, people claiming that they were the phantom pooper.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And several websites out there, if you check some of them, Bitbart, things like that, have people talking about who they think it is, and it's just so funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What is the if they find the phantom pooper? What will the charge be against him? What law is being broken here?
Well, this is the thing. I talked to several people about that, and basically the only thing they can charge him with is a misdemeanor of maybe indecent exposure, depending on
how
they caught him.
Right.
You know, or, you know, disturbing the peace, maybe.
So oh, disturbing your peace? Nothing. I'm going to go out and start doing that. That's fantastic.
You know, because people walk out and they have this horrible smell, so they're disturbing their peace.
Wow.
I guess, yeah. Well, this has to be among your favorite stories you've ever done since you've been on TV, I would imagine, right?
It's the funniest thing.
You sound like you have a good sense of humor. Do you call your, your relatives or somebody and say, listen to the story I'm on today?
Absolutely, I did.
Fantastic.
Well, we're going to be keeping our...
You're not going to believe what I've come to.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going to be keeping our eyes peeled on YouTube for an update, and I'm sure from time to time you guys revisit the story on Channel 3, right?
Yeah, we're working on that. We're working on it.
10-piece series on it. All right.
Fantastic. Hey, wait till 60 Minutes picks this one up, man. Look out. All right. It's KDIC Channel 3 in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Mary Stergel is the reporter. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. We've enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I just have one other question.
You know, I don't know why they'd want to finger paint with it, but...
Ralph Garman is back tomorrow with the Showbiz Beat. In the meantime, we are filling in with all the entertainment news. And, of course, our first stop is always TMZ.com. Who report this morning that the Los Angeles Police Department, this is interesting, is investigating that car crash a couple nights ago that involved Orlando Bloom, you know, from Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
He was in this accident, leaving a club after a big night on Friday, around 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess. He left the club. He says that a vehicle pulled out in front of him, causing him to swerve. He ran into some parked cars. He had two women in the car with him, which, by the way, that's rolling pretty light for Orlando Bloom, if you want my opinion.
Just two chicks?
Only two chicks in the car, right.
Sweet!
They were both hurt, by the way. After the accident, he was uninjured. He got up and walked away. Now, the story, as it looks like it's unfolding here, is that some of the paparazzi who were there, including the cameraman from X17 who videoed this, talked Orlando Bloom into going back to the scene of the accident a few minutes after he had left. The police came. Orlando was cooperative. Apparently, he was not at fault of the accident. There was no evidence that he had been drinking or doing drugs or anything like that. So he's in the clear as far as the accident goes. But TMZ is reporting that the LAPD is investigating whether it's a hit and run because he did leave the scene before he came back.
That's an interesting question.
If you get hit and you leave, that's a hit and run?
Well, he avoided one accident, but then he hit other cars, right?
Right, right, yes. So he ran into cars on the side of the street and then got out of his car and walked away.
But then it wasn't his fault.
Yeah,
and
but that's
he
a
came
hit
back.
And run. He hit other cars and he left.
But if you come back and then talk to the police, is it still a hit and run? I don't know.
They're not going to like that.
What if you have two chicks in the car with you? Does that make it the man, and therefore it's okay?
He was so hiding something.
Well, this is the thought.
He's so bound maybe he wasn't drinking. His coke and his handgun away or something.
Yes, that is one theory, by the way, is he took something out of the car, took it away to someplace else. But if he has paparazzi that are there, that are documenting this, that are following him, that are talking him into going back, they would see that.
He's known for shooting up neighborhoods.
No, but how do you tell Orlando Bloom? He has a gram in his glove compartment. They didn't see him pull it out and put it in his pocket. He's like, I'll be right back. And he just
It's possible.
Dropped in the bushes and he's out.
But it doesn't I understand that the police are investigating this. I can't imagine what will stick since he, you know, was not at fault and did come back. I don't know, but it is interesting to watch.
That isn't good for you.
No, that's a good point.
Sean Diddy, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy Combs is being investigated. I'm sure you've seen this. It's been going on all week. There was alleged assault at a New York City nightclub over the weekend. Stephen Acevedo, 31, has accused P. Diddy of punching him twice in the face at a nightclub on Saturday morning in the Manhattan neighborhood of Soho in a fight over a woman. This seems to happen with him all the time.
Remember,
the last one was him hitting on the girlfriend of a dude and saying, why don't you come home with me? And then the guy's got a fight, remember?
Yep.
Right.
Happened before. So no charges have yet been filed, but they are looking into it. In the meantime, Diddy came in third on Forbes.com Hip Hop Cash Kings list in August. And what he's upset about is not the fight or anything like that. They want to correct Forbes.com because they say that he only earned $28 million last year.
And he's offended by that lowball offer?
Yes, that was way more. I made way more than that. And meanwhile, the police are going, what about this fight with the thing punching him? Hey, what about the $28 million? I made way more than that.
Jeez.
So Diddy's very upset. Diddy's camp insists that we have undervalued his 2006 income.
Wow.
What about his cocoa butter creamy soft skin? What about that?
I don't think that counts, unfortunately.
Okay. Although
he got damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no proactive.
Right.
So Diddy wore proactive. Now, y'all in the skincare products.
Right, you're the man.
Now y'all think it's official.
All right.
Well, I got a secret. I was up on proactive for 7 years. That's why I got silky smooth cocoa butter skin.
That's right.
Sure. Of course you do. I understand why Ralph complains that he can't say anything on the Showbiz Beat without getting an assful from the listeners via the email, because the same thing's been happening to us this week. I reported earlier this morning that Ricky Martin got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday.
Right.
Of course, I was there. I filed this exclusive report.
Ricky Martin, say hi to L.A., man.
All the best for L.A.
And we were suggesting that maybe...
By the way, we didn't edit that. That was its interview in its entirety.
Yes.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's the whole thing. Right. I was suggesting, and I think you guys agreed, that maybe Ricky is not a star who people are going to be excited to come across in 10 years or 50 years. It seems like maybe his best days are already behind him. Why give him a star in 2007?
Liars.
Well, I got some very angry emailers, including Emma, who writes in, Bean, I heard you mention Ricky was getting a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I think you said something to the effect of why Ricky Martin. You mentioned that he peaked about 10 years ago. Well, while that may be true for English-speaking audiences, it's very different for us Latinas.
Ah.
Ricky continues to be a big influence in the Latin communities, received many awards and nominations over the last 2 years. He was selected as Billboard's Person of the Year in 2006 for all of his humanitarian efforts, as well as his 22 years in the music business. This year, he's been nominated for 4 Latin Grammys for his work on the MTV Unplugged CD and DVD. He just completed his Black and White tour where he played out to sold out audiences all over the world. So while K-Rock listeners may be asking why Ricky Martin, the Latino community is applauding him for all his accomplishments and his music. While many people may only remember Livin' La Vida Loca, it's his Spanish music that has garnered him the most recognition. So maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's why Ricky Martin is actually hot now and we just don't know it.
So how about you just shut your face? How about that, Mr. Know-It-All?
Ricky Martin, say hi to LA, man.
All the best for LA.
Michelle Rodriguez, our favorite, going to jail. DUI charges, probation violation. She had the anklet, and she was caught drinking 3 times. The New York Daily News said she was in Vegas over the weekend, and she was spinning the, quote, wheel of sin to decide
now, what is that?
It was a wheel that had different drinks on it, and they would decide which drink would go on special for the next hour by spinning the wheel of sin and then start drinking.
That name is too good to be wasted on drink specials, by the way. You ought to spin the wheel of sin, you know, the wheel of sin, and it ought to be, you know, it lands on the Cleveland steamer. Now you got to do one. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Whatever it is. The Puerto Rican fog bag. I'm just saying, why waste it on, a Bud Light? That's all I'm saying.
We have people working on the wheel of sin as we speak. So thanks
we definitely have to bring that to the Kevin and Bean Show. And finally, it's weird these days that these, you know, the traditional retailers, you know, Tower Records is out of business. There's fewer and fewer CDs being put in stores. So they're looking for new outlets, new places to sell CDs for people who care to even buy CDs, which is a smaller and smaller percentage of the music business every single year. And that's why you see the deals with Paul McCartney selling his at Starbucks, for instance. I've never heard of this one before. This may be the first deal of its type, but the Spice Girls have a greatest hits album coming out. You'll be able to buy it online. Sure, you can get it through iTunes if that's what you do. But if you want to buy the CD, you won't find it in the stores. It'll only be sold at Victoria's Secret stores.
Oh, what? Hey now. What?
Really? Wow,
what about that?
I was tuned out till you said that.
Yep. Spice Girls Greatest Hits, released on November 13th, only available at the Victoria's Secret stores. If you want the hard copy, that's right, I said hard copy. Yay. Of the CD. So.
Huh. Yeah,
business is definitely changing. That's an odd one, right?
Weird
there.
Weird to have to go there to get it, but okay.
Well, I'm sure they have enough demand that people will. You don't have to worry about that.
I'm not one of them, but I'm in Victoria's Secret stores. I just don't buy the CD.
Whatever happened to Eminem, you guys? Remember how big he was?
Yeah, dead.
Yeah.
Did he retire?
No, he died.
What's he doing? What's he up to?
Dead.
He's
Where's
not
his
dead.
Music?
Not dead.
He's not dead?
No.
Oh.
Well, he's 35 years old today. He leads off our celebrity birthdays. Chris Kirkpatrick. Apparently, he was in NSYNC. I've never heard of him. He's 36. Reggae star Ziggy Marley, 39. Wyclef Jean of the Fugees, 35. Actress Margot Kidder, 59. The great Michael McKean, from everything from The Vernon Shirley to Spinal Tap to the Christopher Guest movies to just so many. He's great in everything he does. 60 years old today. Mike Judge, creator of Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, is 45. And the worst looking 69-year-old man you ever want to meet, but he's earned every mile of that, is Evel Knievel, celebrating his birthday today. Somewhere, he is in a great deal of pain going, God damn it, I'm still alive. Please, somebody pull the plug. And that's the Gay Rock Showbiz Beat. Our old friend Gene Simmons, Lisa's boyfriend from the band Kiss, back in the news. You enjoy when he comes to visit us, right, Lisa?
Oh, she loves it.
I like him on the phone.
Yeah, Saturday night he was in New York City at a club called Home Nightclub, and Harvey Levin's people at TMZ.com caught up with him, and there was a dude outside of the nightclub trying to hit on a girl.
Okay. Right.
And you remember that that show, The Pickup Artist with Mystery?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, guy who takes nerds, takes right. losers, teaches them how to make it with the ladies.
So that's what Gene's doing outside of this nightclub. For real, though, the guy hit on this girl by asking her if she was Italian, and that's where Gene comes in, and he's asking, did you really just, that's an opening line, are you Italian?
Did you ask her if she's Italian?
He did.
That's not a good opening line. Why does it matter what she is?
Doesn't matter, Gene.
Are you Italian? Hey, how you doing? What does that have to do with anything?
Can you imagine? You're outside Aww. A nightclub, you're hitting on a girl, and now Gene Simmons is mocking you in front of her.
You're so screwed.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd also like to point out, it's hardly fair, because all Gene Simmons has to do to get a woman is go, as a matter of fact, I am the bass player in the band Kiss. I mean, that's all. He doesn't have to ever worry about opening lines.
But he's helping the guy out.
I don't know. There's a better pickup line. Watch this. You work on
It's
Wall
not
Street.
A pickup line.
What do you do?
Construction management. I'm a superintendent.
There you go. That means he's got a good job. Now, she looks like a cold girl.
Would you like my shirt?
Now you got it. That's a good one.
If I had a jacket, I'd give it to you, but you know what? I'll give you my shirt, too.
How long does it take for him to come up with?
All right, so he's helping him out. He's trying to help him with a little opening line. You look cold. How about my shirt?
Well, we wanted to find out what's going on with our friend Gene, so we've got him on the line on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock right now. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. This is Gene Simmons from KISS. How are you?
Hi, Gene. Are you driving right now?
I am. I'm going down... Whoa! Oh! Look, going down PCH in my very rare, very elegant, very romantic 1962 Dino Ferrari Coupe.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Very, not very that you're, romantic. Not that you're bragging, though, right?
Why would I need to? I'm Gene Simmons from KISS.
Right. Good. Right.
I put the man back in romance.
Right. Is there any way you can either turn the car down or turn your phone up?
No, possibly. Hold on. Omar, turn the car down.
What you meant by that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Gene, so the story, I don't even have to ask you if it's true. We've seen it on video. So you're outside the nightclub in New York, and you're trying to help this young man pick up women. That's your deal, right?
Typically. I've been reluctant to release my secrets on picking up women. But I felt like I've been a little bit too tight-lipped for a long time. This is my speaking of being tight-lipped.
Okay. This isn't about Lisa. That's not what we have you on to talk about, Gene.
By the way, Lisa May, now that I've mentioned your name, and you're very lucky that I have, by the way, I heard that you're a Boston Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
That's nice. You know, I tip my cap to them and the team and how well they've done so far. But I happen to be a Cleveland fan. Cleveland Indians fan.
Well, you're doing better.
I understand. But how? Speaking of Cleveland,
How's the Cleveland Steamer sound?
Oh, come on. Oh, that was a long slide for an out.
Come on, Gene. You're not even
teaching people?
And by the way, are you in the Long Beach Grand Prix right now? Where the hell are you driving so that fast?
Whoa! Right. Whoa!
What
almost,
other tips?
Almost to the sinkhole. All
right, you don't want that. Okay, all right, Gene. Listen. What other tips do you have for the young men out there who are shy, who don't have your personality, but what a good opening line or a good conversation starter with a woman?
Well, first off, when you approach a woman, you don't want to use one of these canned, cheesy lines.
Okay.
You know, what's your sign? Do you come here often?
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Okay.
In fact, don't even approach the woman at all directly. Start talking to one of your male friends and make sure that she overhears you.
Okay.
And you're going to be talking about something very high culture, very, so she gets interest in you and she thinks you're someone who's of substance.
Okay. Like
for instance, say, I don't feel that the modern abstract art has progressed at all since the splatter art era of Jackson Pollock.
Okay,
something like that.
I'd have to write that
Lisa
down.
Lisa May, speaking of splatter art.
I don't think.
Okay.
What?
I think your face will make it great.
Okay, you're just.
That's just gross.
Simply saying. Now, once you've engaged the woman, she's definitely, her interest has been aroused by your intellectual commentary.
Okay.
You go and you ask to buy her a drink. And you don't do it in a slimy way. You just simply do it. You say, what are you drinking? And you walk up to the bar and you buy that. Now, don't carry a wallet, okay? Because you want to show off the fact that you have a very, very large wad of money. Women are, in fact, turned on by cash. Don't deny that fact. And you want to have a very, very large wad of money. Speaking of large wads.
Okay, you know what?
Not what we
don't have any more time for this nonsense, Gene. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Once you've started the conversation.
You have more?
Of course. I don't only want to tell you how to pick up a woman. I want to show you how to seal the deal, first date, things like that.
Yeah.
Once you've gotten the discourse started, you bought her your drink, catch her off guard. Make some commentary about perhaps her handbag or even the decor inside the bar or club. Say, those are fantastic curtains right there.
Nope. Can't do it, Gene. Gotta go.
Lisa May taking
curtains. Can't do it. Can't do it. Gotta go.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So homie, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
By the way, as a brief aside, we have received your emails, and we will try to play Icky Thump by White Stripes more. We haven't figured out a way to do that yet, but we are working on it behind the scenes. We've got the lab up on floor 7 is working on that hard right now. All right, it's 9:45 on K-Rock, 1-800-520-1067. Call now, get on the air, get a prize. Today it's a pair of tickets to Fright Fest at Six Flags Magic Mountain, happening Fridays through Sundays now through Halloween night.
All right, let's begin with Rudy in Santa Ana. Good morning, Rudy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Lisa May?
Hey, Rudy.
Guys, I had the best thing happen to me this weekend.
Okay.
I went up to Utah with a couple of my friends, and I got pulled over.
Right.
The best part, I got pulled over by a midget trooper.
Oh, nice. A midget. Couldn't have been riding the bike, so it must have been in a car.
It was a car. Actually, he wasn't driving. He was partnered off with somebody else. And get this, he goes over to my side, and he knocks on my door.
or so you think he does.
He doesn't knock on your window?
Yeah, no, he didn't knock on my window. He knocked
now,
on
all right,
door.
How do
I
you
need to be the guy who calls BS on Rudy's story here?
No, come on, I want to believe
you
it.
You can't. How can there are height and weight requirements for being a state trooper? There's no way they hire a midget for that job.
You know, you're right.
There's no way.
Oh, come on, in Utah, they need everybody they can get.
No, I have buddies that are like 5'3" dudes that are just weak and they couldn't get through the
academy. How tall?
There's no way they let a midget.
How tall was he, Rudy?
He was pretty much up to my waist.
Up to your waist, all right. Did you? Here's my question. Did you laugh?
I did, and he got really mad. I laughed, and he just—it was like one of the little chihuahuas, you know, and they just go crazy because like everybody's taller than you.
I'm choosing to believe Rudy. I want to believe him.
You don't have to sell us on how often midgets are. Look, we all want to own a midget, let's be honest. But I'm just telling you, your story, while entertaining, is short on facts.
See? Short on facts! How do you do it?
Hey. I believe it 100%.
You know, I don't mean to be negative in any way, but a little person, little brain.
Oh, come on. That's just me. Nice. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Long Beach, line 2, Catherine calling. We've been talking this week about the phantom pooper story up in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Apparently, Catherine has some experience with this. Good morning, Kath.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
We're afraid
what
of your story.
What it do, Lisa May?
Good morning.
All right. So I used to work in a restaurant, and we had a phantom pooper.
Yeah.
We called him actually the bathroom bandit.
The bathroom bandit, okay.
Always
okay.
A tricky name.
And it was, we got a couple of reports that someone was going into the customer bathroom, the men's bathroom.
Yep.
And they would come out, and it was like someone's ass had exploded
that's,
in the bathroom.
That was the same person that we had at K-Rock for about 6 months.
Yep. I never saw Jed at the restaurant. Though.
How dare you?
So did you catch him?
We catch this guy. It happened like 3 or 4 times over 2 weeks. And finally, we decided we had to stake it out and figure out what was going on. So our day manager, who's like this 60-year-old grandma type, had to like hide around the corner from the bathroom. And after each guy went in, she had to go in and check it out.
Oh, that's the worst job ever.
And it took like 2 weeks because sometimes she'd get pulled away and she couldn't stake everybody out.
Sure.
And so finally we figure out it's this customer who came in every day and who we'd had problems with in the past and had to talk to about other bad behavior.
He came in every single day to your restaurant?
He came in every single day.
What was his other bad behavior?
Well, we had a counter and he would lead loud discussions about government conspiracy theories and how the Jews were taking over the world, things like that.
Oh, dear God. Just crazy.
He also would... He'd come in with his newspaper that he got delivered at home, and you know they have a rubber band around him?
Right.
He'd take that rubber band off and, like, shoot it into our bakery case so that it would land in, like, some cinnamon rolls. Yeah, he was awesome. He was also orange because he ate, like, too many carrots and too many of the vitamins
made
him orange. So he was just a gem.
You guys had a real keeper on your hands.
Give this guy a TV show. Hell, you wasted him at the restaurant.
Did he ever fold his newspaper over underneath his arm and run to the bathroom and yell, "It's time!"
Never saw that. We figure he probably tucked it underneath and whistled on his way in.
Could be.
That move.
Wow.
Could be. All right.
So what was when you found out he was the phantom pooper, you just banned him from the premises, I assume?
Well,
that was all you could do, right?
The grandma-type manager had to confront him, and he was just like, "Oh, I kind of thought it was funny." And,
oh,
God. From that point on, he did get banned from the premises.
And then the assistant manager asked him,
"You know, I don't know why they'd want to finger paint with it, but..."
Yeah. Right, exactly. All right, thank you very much. Great call, Catherine. By the way, if you have not yet seen the news report from Channel 3 up in Idaho Falls, just go to YouTube and type in Phantom Pooper. Depending on what kind of person you are, you either will or will not regret that decision.
All right, let's go to Christina, who is calling from La Crescentia. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean, Lisa May. Howdy-doody.
Good. Howdy-doody to you. What's going on?
Okay, so my issue. Bean, is it you that loves jury duty? You want to be on?
Yes, yes.
Okie dokie. So I was called in this week, unfortunately. It's a criminal case. I'm back on today. We're going through the interview process. How do I get off? I don't want to... Not that kind of off.
You don't... That's what she said. You don't want to be on the jury.
I don't.
Okay. This is easy. Look, first of all, you're asking the wrong guy because I love jury duty. It's all I have lived for my whole life, and I get to serve for the first time ever on a jury starting January 22nd. So I'm very sad. Here's all you have to do. You go in and you say, "Your Honor," or attorney, or whoever you're talking to, jury supervisor, "I am a woman who claims to be an adult and intelligent, yet I've used the terms howdy, duty, and okie dokie in the same phone conversation in 1 minute's time. Am I qualified to judge another?"
And those are
off. I could even say, "Hey, howdy doody, Judge."
Just talk in your normal voice, Christina, and you'll be fine. Just,
exactly. Howdy doody, okie dokie. Believe me, nobody's going to want to even be with you on a jury, much less have you decide their case. So you're fine.
Thank you for the call. Vanessa in West Covina. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys.
What
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Vanessa.
So I was watching the rerun for LA Inc. last night, and there was so much sadness in my heart when I saw Jenna Jameson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She's, I don't know why.
She has these freakishly huge lips. She's skeletally thin.
What was that? Did you see how her boobs just looked
crazy? I don't know what's happened with her lately, but it's not a good move.
And I had heard you guys talk about it, and I hadn't noticed.
And we like her.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
but
we do.
Wow.
She's great.
But last night, it was
no,
sad.
That's not.
Here's what's really sad is rent the Howard Stern movie sometime, Private Parts.
Okay.
She's no one has ever been hotter than Jenna Jameson in the movie. I mean, she's just unbelievable. She's at the absolute 100% peak of her powers. And the woman that now claims to be Jenna Jameson looks like that woman from that movie's grandmother.
Yeah.
Who lives in Ethiopia.
She was my girl crush.
I know.
And now
I
know. I'm crushed.
Well, you're going to have to change to other women, a lot of them, to make up.
You know if you take a lighter to a Polaroid? Everything just kind of melts and forms into one, like, sick-looking, goofy
that.
Skeleton.
We like her.
I know, but that she looks like if you took a normal picture of Jenna Jameson and with a Polaroid and then took a lighter.
Started to heat it up.
Not
it is very sad. She's still a very, very nice lady and all that, and we're just sorry. I mean, obviously, she, you know, Dr. Drew would tell you she got touched, and that led to the porn, and now it's leading to whatever kind of self-mutilation is happening now, but it is very tragic. So.
But I think you have to replace that crush with as much sex with females as you can.
Let's see. Tara Patrick?
Yeah.
Sure. Good enough.
And by the way, just for you, Tara Patrick, I believe on the Kevin and Bean show within the next 7 days. So you got to call back and talk to her.
We should have Vanessa come in.
That's a great. Vanessa, you want to come in and meet Tara Patrick when we have her in?
Yes. Okay,
then. All right.
Hold on.
It's a deal. We'll invite you. Fantastic. Well, that's a beautiful way to end the show.
We have
right
a lot
there.
Of other calls, but I don't want to take any of them.
You have a glow, and you don't want to ruin it.
I'm happy with that.
You just spoil hooking up Vanessa with Tara Patrick. Come on.
I'm with you.
I want to thank our guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, author Peter Sagal. The book is very funny, called The Book of Vice, Very Naughty Things and How to Do Them. If you ever wonder, you know, like really hard, difficult things to figure out, like why guys go to strip clubs, for instance, this is the book for you.
So puzzling.
That's a tough one. Also, thanks to actor David Koechner. His latest movie is called The Comebacks, and that opens up everywhere on Friday, October the 19th. Against my better judgment, I'm going to say now that we've had Dave in, a guy whose work I respect, sounds like it might be pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Now
you're all coming over to my side.
Yep.
Thank you. Tomorrow morning, an all-new show. Ralph's back. He's got the showbiz beat. We got LaQuisha back. Hard to believe. We have Ask a Whore.
Carl, fantastic.
Continuing
that's the only
in
reason
our,
why we do.
Continuing
so play that.
Continuing in our series of Ask A, we have Ask a Whore tomorrow.
I am going to fall very deeply in love with Tiger Lily tomorrow. I already admire her from the phone conversation we had with her earlier in the week, but she's coming in tomorrow. It's going to be the best.
I guess everybody does love Dick.
All right, easy, Lisa. And tomorrow we're going to finally take on those of you that are K-Rock listeners who also are very angry at us because we're mocking Dancing with the Stars.
Apparently, the phones exploded this morning when we were on explaining how it was the number one show in America and stop it. And apparently, people are really ticked off because for some reason they like it.
And we would like to say in advance, F you, you effing Fs.
No, I think what you mean, Kevin, is we're eager to hear your side of the story.
We want
you to enlighten us as to what we're missing about this popular primetime show.
That's what I meant exactly.
Okay. So all of that is tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Muse's Supermassive Black Hole is going to be part of it. Gene Simmons, anything you want to add to that?
He's a man. Speaking of supermassive black holes.
All right. Don't invite him onto the show.
I could have done that.
Also, Jimmy Eat World, Pain. Gene, anything?
Lisa May, speaking of pain.
I thought you going to say speaking of eat.
Either one.
Yeah. I've got one up you. How about that? It was just too
Linkin Park, Beastie Boys, Pearl Jam, and more right after this on K-Rock.